everyone, and welcome to Commander Cast, episode 179. I'm your host of the show, William, and as... Wait, hold on. Wait, I forgot I have an entire predated thing. Okay, I'm going to try that again.
You interrupted your own intro, alright?
I didn't say anything, I was just
Yeah, me and Tom were totally silent. Like, this was the only time you were ever going to get to do it, man. And you interrupted your own intro.
I was ready to go. I was into it. I was like, all right, yeah. I like it.
Let's get it! Hello everyone, and welcome to CommanderCast, episode 139, for your weekly source for community, strategy, and technology, hosted on mtgcast.com and our home site, CommanderCast.com. We're recording this on December 18th, 2014. I'm the host of the show, William, and with me is one of my perennial co-hosts, Mark. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, good. I'm doing good today, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like, well, let's see, Calvin's at classes right now, and for whatever reason, Clay had to bail. I'm actually going to go on the record and guess that he had like some sort of holiday concert he needed to take care of.
Probably.
That was always the one thing that bothered me about like being in band or choir, was that you have to deal with the holiday stuff, and you're like, what is this? No, I just want to go home and watch Rudolph.
Oh man, that is the nice part about having absolutely zero musical talent. I never had to worry about any of that.
All right.
Pretty accurate. I know that feeling.
All right. So even though we're missing half of our normal cast, Mark, we do have a special guest with us today. Today we have Tom, MTG Radio, with us. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing fantastic. Also reveling in the fact that I have no musical ability, even though my parents tried to force me multiple times. I have a broken electric piano behind me and a never-used guitar, but I play Guitar Hero, so it's like the same thing, right? They're still proud of me?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
They're not disappointed? Okay, good.
If you can play plastic, you can play a guitar.
Yeah, same thing, right?
Clearly.
Where's the red button on the, where's the red button, though? That's what I need to know.
Damn it, where'd Clay go? He would know this.
Plastic, like whammy guitar or whammy pedals, are way louder than regular whammy pedals, I'm just going to say. Yeah. Oh, it's a fact. It's a little known fact.
Thomas, who are you and what do you do?
My name's Tom. I run NTG Radio. We used to be a podcast, and then Trevor got too much during college and stuff, so I actually jumped into the streaming world. I stream Commander, or EDH, on Twitch.tv, which is super fun. It always freaks me out when I call EDH and someone says, what's that? And I'm like, oh, you only know it as Commander, you wee child.
Yeah, I mean...
That's how you separate the men from the boys.
It's also how you sign up the people trying to get in line with what WotC's doing all that. I mean, like, I tried calling it EDH when I was writing the Dear Zombie article, but then the editor was like, yeah, we call it Commander here because we want to try and stay in line with what WotC's doing. And I'm like, okay, we can do that too. It got us a preview card.
I just use it interchangeably. Like, I will say Commander EDH in the same sentence. They just mean the same thing to me because they are the same thing.
Yep.
More or less. So, there's only three of us this week, but that doesn't mean we can escape the perennial question to help the viewers get to know us, identify us a little better if they don't necessarily have time to memorize our names, and who does? We have favorite commanders of the week. And Tom, you still can't decide, can you?
No, I can't. It's between Afara, God of the Police, or Polis, or however you pronounce it.
No, I want to get an altar with, like, Sting in the background. So.
Oh yeah. No. I was really gonna make a detain deck that was based around blinking detain creatures. Cause one, really good with Afara. Number two, just perfect, thematically. But it's either Afara or Titania. Basically what happens, I log on MTGO and I play two games pretty much every other day. One game with Afara, one game with Titania. And they're both just making me grin ear to ear. But I guess I'll go with Afara cause she's not getting nearly enough love. Like, I think she's an amazing general and she just doesn't, no one looks at her. She's that cute mousy girl in the corner who's kind of like, hey guys, so I would like to dance, but no one's asked me. It's like Afara, I'll take you dancing anytime you want, just anytime.
And I have to say, Yeah, I've never won against a Nefara deck. Like, I've always gotten my face stomped in. I've seen it a lot of different ways. Like, the last time was a guy who was playing, like, just Afara tokens. And just smashed me in the face. It was just embarrassing how much I lost by.
Okay.
So. I lost so many cards.
Yep.
Okay, so, Tom, tell you what. Since there's only, like, the three of us this week, you can go ahead and talk about each of the decks.
Oh, that's so great. I love them both so much.
All right, so go ahead. Talk about Afara first.
So a quick rundown on Afara. You draw infinite cards is pretty much what happens. Because of her ability where when a creature enters the battlefield, you draw a card at the beginning of the next upkeep. That's any upkeep. I play primarily four-player commander, so I'm just, you know, activating mobilization or playing a Raise the Alarm or instant speed creatures or Snapcaster Mage draw spell, and you just draw so many cards. It's obnoxious. I love Afara, and she also has the greatest card about gods, which is the secret attacker rule, which is everyone's like, oh yeah, there's no damage on the board, and then you kill them out of nowhere, because you're like, devotion attack? Just always. And then Titania, once she got spoiled, I fell in love. I think she's one of the coolest, I was maybe revolutionary, but just one of the coolest designs for a commander I'd ever seen. And I bought the monogreen commander deck immediately online, because I primarily play online. And the first thing I did was build a deck there. And I have not been disappointed. She's been so much fun.
Okay, so we mentioned Afara, and was there anything else you want to say about Titania?
She's amazing. I love playing her. Those are definitely my two generals of the week. If it wasn't, it would be actually Markdown of the Week, which I think is also amazing. Which is...
Ooh, nice segue. Man, you really, like, teed that up for me. That is the mark of a professional, people. Mine is Sidisi Brew Tyrant. And this one, all the credit for the idea of this deck goes to Rich, over, Rich McCann, guys, when we were talking about replacing the Mimeoplasm, that's exactly what I did in this deck. I just replaced the Mimeoplasm with Sidisi. I might have added a few cards here and there to play off, you know, some zombie stuff. But that's it. It's a Mimeo, it's, you know, just a different version of Self-Mill with Sidisi at the head, and it's amazing. Like, just making that swap, and it was just like, you know, Sidisi was in the 99, and Mimeoplasm was at the head, and I just swapped them, and it's been great since then. Oh. I get a heck of a lot less hate directed my way, and I still win just as many games.
Oh, man, that game that we played, those games that we played with Clay last week, you know, after you left, Clay and I started playing some 101, Sidisi just destroyed me.
Sidisi is nasty.
Like, I had no time to set up at all. She just came out swinging, and I was on the back foot the entire time. I couldn't even cast Narset.
Yep. Wow. I'm telling you, talk about some awesome triggered abilities.
Whew.
Definitely. I've also loved Sidisi. I think she's amazing. I guess my version is definitely geared toward straight four-player multiplayer. I like to call it slow mill. A lot of people say, oh, play Traumatize. I'm like, I'm not playing Traumatize in this deck. I am playing, like, the slowest mill cards you've ever seen, because I want all the zombies, man. I'm a value person. I need all my zombies. Every zombie is special and precious to me, and I want every single damn one of them. Have you been, just quick question, have you been using Retrace in your deck? Because I found those cards to be great.
Man, you know, I have not, but I've been messing around with Worm Harvest recently, and I don't know why I haven't been messing around with Worm Harvest before, because it's amazing. In, like, every deck I put it in. So.
Spitting Image, as William mentioned, is actually the one I really meant, because Spitting Image has been beyond an all-star in that deck.
Seriously. All right, well, now I gotta go, excuse me, guys, while I go alter my city deck.
I mean, that, and of course, the Worm Harvest Life from Alom combination is also just the best.
Yeah. I actually had a guy quit out on me the other day because I played Life from Alom.
Oh, wow.
I know, I was like, really? How salty could you get? Like, it's just Life from Alom. It's like, fuck this card! And I'm like, alright.
Okay, but Mark, we're missing the important question here. And that's, Tom, when you stream, how many people scoop to Mesmeric Orb?
Okay, so, funnily enough, a lot of people ask me about Mesmeric Orb on my list, and I don't play it, because, as you mentioned, I have won every single game I had Mesmeric Orb and Sidisi on the battlefield at the same time. every single one. Like, it's not even close. And so I kinda took it out. I do that with some of my decks. When a card is just too good, I take it out. Like, I used to play straight Time Warps in my upkeep deck, and it had too many ways to abuse Time Warp, so I switched it out with, Savor the Moment, because it's a nicer Time Walk effect. It just gives you an extra upkeep, which is what the deck actually needs, not at the whole Time Walk. And Mesmeric Orb was, as you mentioned, just way too good. Like, Mesmeric Orb was silly. If I was playing 1v1 and I wanted to win, yeah, I'd play Mesmeric Orb in a heartbeat. That card is busted. In that deck.
Yeah.
And now I need to find the image of SpongeBob of the Orb of Confusion.
Now, are you playing Mesmeric Orb in yours, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Anything that I need to mill, Like, I just play it. I mean, but I'm a terrible player, Tom. So, like, when people, you know, it was like, did you read Dusters this week? When you were talking about Mana Crypt? And how no one cares if Remo plays? Yeah, that's me. I'm like, oh, now I understand why no one cares when I play Mana Crypt. They're like, oh, okay, fine, whatever, Mark's gonna kill himself. So, alright, I get it now. It was like an epiphany moment.
My favorite recent interaction with Mana Crypt was my opponent was playing Elves. And don't play Mana Crypt and Elves. That just doesn't make sense. You're playing Llanowar Elf. You don't need Mana Crypt. But he was playing both Mana Crypt and Ancient Tomb. And I guess he really wanted fast mana in Elves. I'm still confused by it. But I was playing Gisela, and I land Gisela, and I just see the guy shatter pauses for like 2 minutes. And then during his upkeep, it hits, and he takes 6 damage, and he's like, I can't even cast my spells now. And I'm like, hey, we learn our lessons.
So, this actually goes well into my commander of the week. And right now, I am still messing around with Freyalise. Mm-hmm. I've been playing... I feel like I actually want to see if I can get to 100 games with just the pre-con. Because I'm having so much fun with it as is. Like, the Titanium Pactes are really weird and kind of awkward for the deck. Like, you go Terramorphic Expanse when you really just need a forest. Mm. But, okay, so here's the thing that we didn't cover when we were doing the pre-con reviews, because we had some difficulty actually getting JT the deck and him actually getting games with it. But the deck alpha strikes like a mofo. I have never seen a deck output so much damage out of almost nowhere. You cannot, do not ever let this deck, even as a pre-con, assemble a board position where it has like 7 or so creatures on the board, because then it could just kill someone out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's Elves. Like, it's got a really good, like, every elf that I would put in, like, if I was making an elf deck, you know, like, I would put in pretty much like half that deck list. I mean, it's really good for what it does. You know, it has some other stuff here and there, but I don't know, like, we talked about this before. I've never played a sealed WotC product as much as I have these pre-cons. And I've never wanted to before. Like, without any additions or subtractions, like, I would just play these as is.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I mean, I was playing some, today I didn't really go into work because I just felt, I'm just way too tired for this. I'm just going to call off and I'll get some other work done, which I did, and I'll get into what I was doing later. But one of the things I did was I finally went on Modo, just straight up bought the pre-con so that I would have it instead of having to hunt around on the vendors for all the individual cards. Played some games with it, and let me put it this way. When it was down to just me and the other guy out of 4 people originally, he had like 2 7-7 elves and his Wreath Redeemed and like 12 angel tokens. Each of them have a counter on them from a Johnny, and they're going to kill me on the next turn. And then I just go, okay, tap Priest of Titania for all this mana, play the Elvish Archdruid, give him the boots, tap him for some more mana. Okay, let's go ahead and drop Beastmaster's Ascension and Overrun and kick Jorgo Warcaller 13 times.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that seems all right.
I mean, it's not like when I was playing my playgroup and someone was playing their Feldegrift decided it was time to play Tempting Worm. And then I drop Titania and Terracidon, blow up through my lands, then play Beastmaster's Ascension on the next turn and they just kill everyone.
God, that's great.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go into our small news segment. Community Banpool, Ban the Whales. Oh, Tom, have you actually heard about this?
I haven't. Tell me about it.
Okay, so the Community Banpool on MTG Salvation, I'm going to go ahead and send you a link in the chat.
Ooh, do so.
It's a year-long, I think it's going on for like a year and a half. It's going to end like next October, where everyone on Salvation is going to have a chance to vote on what they would ban from EDH. And then we've got stuff, I'm trying to see where the results are. Okay, yeah. So we've got stuff like, yeah, Emrakul should be completely banned, Edric should be banned, Braid should be banned, all the Power 9 are there, Consecrated Sphinx, and they're in various percentages. And of course, you know, trying to find him. Where'd he go? Oh, yeah. And of course, Great Whale only sits at 5.3% of all the votes. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking. The Great Whale is easily one of the most ban-worthy cards ever.
I mean, I'm still heralding Palancron. I hate that card. It's my go-to answer whenever someone asks. They're like, oh, hey, what do you think about the ban list? And it's like, snap, Palancron. Like, oh, what about I'm banning Primetime? Yeah, but what about banning Palancron? Let's get to the heart of the issue here.
Tom, I hear what you say, but the Great Whale is so much greater than Palancron.
Imagine if Great Whale could bounce himself on Great Whale and also just broke the game whenever you had any sort of mana doubling effect.
I know,
imagine,
right?
Imagine if Great Whale comboed off with almost any single clone in the game. Or imagine if Great Whale just wrecked the game with any card that was printed. Like, I hate Palancron. I don't think you understand. I loathe Palancron. If there was a gun with two bullets in it, and there was Hitler, and there was Stalin, and there was Palancron, I'd shoot Palancron twice. That's how much I hate Palancron. Alright? That's an office line, by the way. It's a great office line. But still, it's worse than Toby. Alright? I hate that card. Revile? I'm gonna look up Webster's, man. I hate that.
Detest, loathe.
All of them. In a ball thrown at that blue flying piece of. There's a ban list poll? How many times can I vote?
So is this where we get Calvin to look up the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas so that he could put in the scene where the Grinch is going through the phone book and just listing all the people he hates?
I hate you. Hate. Double hate.
Loathe entirely.
Pretty relevant.
Does it make it worse that I'm never sure what the fuck Palancron is? Like, it just, I can't even tell. Like, it's got like that weird, it looks like someone mutated one of the spies from like Mad Magazine, like Spy vs. Spy, and just like, just like poured acid on it and just stretched its ass like half a mile long. Disgusting and weird and, I don't get it, man.
Well, it's an illusion, so I guess it is what you see it.
But, like, shouldn't illusions be illusions of something? Like, I have never seen, you know, like other illusions are kind of vaguely human-like or creature-like. I don't know what the hell Palancron is. Like, that's not an illusion. If I saw that, I'd be, the first thing that popped in my mind would not be illusion.
The other thing I hate about that card are people trying to say, oh, no, it's fine in my deck because it helps my theme. No, it doesn't help your theme. It helps no one's theme. Palancron is not a thematic card. It is literally you want to win the game, so you play Palancron. That is it. There is no theme behind it. You're playing a cute illusion deck? Awesome. That's adorable. Don't care. It doesn't fit your theme. I hate that. What? Right? Staff of Domination fits a theme, you know? Even, God, what else? Even Primeval Titan can fit a theme. Palancron is just an amalgamation of all that's wrong in the world in a single blue creature. It's what it is. It's like, AIDS combined with people not paying attention to their diabetes, combined with starving kids in Ethiopia, all wrapped up with a bow of Ebola. Like, that's what Palancron is. I hate that.
So, Tom, can I grab some soap out of that box you're standing on? I need to go take a shower.
Yes, sure. I mean, you could also grab some salt, because I am so salty about that. I hate it.
You know, I feel like it's, like, confession time, because when the first set of precons came out, I put Palancron in an Animar deck, and I thought I was really clever for about half a minute. So, and then I realized how awful I am as a human being. So
it's okay. We all learn. Like I keep dying to people playing Pendledrake in their Animar decks, and they're like, oh, it's okay because you can't bounce it. And they play like a clone or a Sakashima, and I'm like, you're adorable. I want to rub you on the head. You're the cutest. You're gonna learn, study. Like, if someone like leaks or like someone tutors up Palancron, there's no one else I'm fighting in the game. That's all it is. It's that simple. It's like, oh, I know that guy has Lieslaw on me next turn, but here's the thing. I saw what you worldly tutored for. I know what's coming up next. Alright? So I'm attacking you here. It's not even lethal, I don't care. You're that's how life works. In fact, guy who has lethal on me, attack him instead, because I'm not gonna touch you and dead. Really simple.
Awesome.
So, anyway, so that's on the poll, right? I'm trying to find the Palancron voting poll, and I can't find it, and it's really annoying. Anyway, so this is really cool. Have we gotten any sort of consensus decisions yet?
I actually don't know. Like, we're going to have Donovan on. He's one of the admins who's looking over and directing the poll.
Uh-huh.
At some point, once we actually have a Friday where we can record, we're going to go over that, and we'll see. Just what this is going. It's one of those things where it's a nice community exercise. Like,
Yeah. Like
they're not affiliated with the Rules Committee. Rules Committee is not really watching this outside of the usual things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like it's most of the things you would kind of figure. Like the Moxen and everything on the banned list is up there pretty high. You know, everything else is just kind of like falls as it will. I'm always surprised that Deadeye Navigator's not higher on the list, but. Or higher in the percentages, but, you know.
Yeah, because Deadeye's got almost 30% of the votes. And that's the thing too. Like we actually had Brian ISB Pathfinder tell us that there's something like over 20,000 votes in there, and that's just kind of all the cards with all the votes together. I think they had like somewhere between 300 to 600 people who have voted on this so far.
That's a nice portion, really.
Yep. Yeah, no, definitely. Yep.
So that's the community ban poll. As always, we have the link to it in our show notes, and I'm probably not even going to bother taking that out of the show notes until it's over. So,
seems like a smart call.
Yep, so you'll always be able to find it in our show notes. We have a little bit of the other news. We have seen a little bit of spoilers, so talk about that in a little bit. But currently, column schedules, still trying to recruit, still trying to get that. We have one or two people who have sent stuff in who are under consideration right now. We'll definitely be having their articles posted hopefully soon. But yeah. Hey, you know what? We could always have more. Mark, you and I, we didn't start this as awesome podcast people.
That is true. Yep. It just seems like I was really excited when, you know, we got a couple of new people up. Aaron and Brian have really been working hard on their articles, polishing them up and putting them up. I think Aaron started working on his second one already. So I gotta start posting their stuff. It's great just to have new voices on the site. Like, I'm always excited to see and hear from new people who have just obviously more interesting things to say about Commander than I have. So.
Right. And really, you can write any sort of article you want as long as you can find a way to fit it into either community strategy or technology so that we know what day to post you under.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like, I think all of us, I mean, I think I speak for everybody here when we say the more voices, the better on the site. You know, it's great to have new people. It's always cool to see new and interesting takes on things. Even if it's been niggling at the back of your head, like, man, I got this idea, but I don't know if it's any good. Like, just shoot us an email. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? I mean, we're probably going to say yes. And I can't imagine us turning down an idea unless it's something that, I don't know, literally came out last week or something. Even if it's an old idea that was covered a couple of years ago, like, why don't you just do it with some of the new, you know, in light of the new cards that have come out or in light of the new commanders that have come out. You know, that's the nice part about an evolving Eternal format. Like, there's always something to write about.
Yep. All right. And finally, at least this part is site news, the Kickstarter progress. I mentioned before, I think it was a couple weeks now, that we're working on a Kickstarter to go ahead and get some Commander stuff up for our Gifts Given charity drive. So, a couple things. With me not really going into work today, I did get a lot of good headway on it. First thing, apparently Kickstarter doesn't let people give the proceeds to charity. So it's a not charity drive. It's still labeled as Gifts Given 2014 when the project finally gets launched, but in no place am I actually saying it's a charity drive, and I would encourage people to keep that on the download too. I mean, as far as Kickstarter needs to be concerned, it's just, hey, we're working in conjunction with Inked Playmats to bring you some awesome Commander stuff. It's going to be just the one playmat in the dice bag for right now, but if this goes well, we'll be able to push out some more stuff. So I'll go ahead and announce it on the show when I'm done working on the Kickstarter stuff, because I need to. Well, first of all, I need to get images of what the playmat and the dice bag are going to look like. I've already gotten the quotes for what it costs to produce the stuff, and I'll let you guys know that the more people who get playmats, the cheaper it's going to be, which means the more we're actually going to have to give to charity. And I also need to hear back from them on what they're going to do, because there was some talk that they may actually offer to match our donation amount, but that's still kind of up in the air as to whether that's doing. So the Kickstarter is definitely in progress, but we're not ready to launch it just yet.
It's a very complicated thing. You're gonna need a lot of work on it. I'll tell you that much.
Oh yeah, like I think about what Chewie had to go through, and I'm just like, I actually set up the Amazon account for that now, and I'm just happy that I had like a spare bank account that I was going to use for something else. But then I decided, well, might as well use it for this because I'm not going to be putting any money in there anytime soon.
Yeah, it's like going on an overseas trip. You're like, oh yeah, this will be easy. Let's buy the plane ticket. And you're like, I need to get a passport. And they're like, oh, I need to get I don't have vaccinations updated. You're like, why is this all happening? I just wanted to buy a ticket.
I just want to go places.
Yeah. I just wanted to go to Canada. Why do I have to go through all this bullshit?
Yeah, let me just sneak over. Like, no one tell anybody. It'll be easy.
Yeah, like, no one wants to sneak into Canada.
The hard part is sneaking back.
All right. And finally, we have a couple of cards that have gotten spoiled, and I think they're actually pretty indicative of what we're going to be seeing in the set. So, guys, let me ask you this. In the classic time travel story, what is the one thing that affects the story more often than not?
Butterflies.
You're close. You're close.
Is that not the answer?
You're close.
Okay.
That sounds like it should be the answer.
Mailboxes.
Okay. It's actually the choices that the protagonist makes while they're in the past.
I was going to say, hitting on your mom. That's Back to the Future taught me that. Don't do that.
Is there anything more creepy? They're like, seriously, that scene of them in the car and then he fights off the guy is just, like, I recently watched Back to the Future and I was watching it. I'm like, whoa, people just let this happen? Like, it's a really messed up scene. Like, I guess, yeah, you can't tweet anybody if it doesn't exist, but I would expect, like, if that movie got released now, everyone would be like, what?
Man, no, you can't go back. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to my kids today about that. I was mm-hmm. saying, you know, you can't go back and watch the first Revenge of the Nerds and be okay with that ending scene anymore. Like,
yeah,
now
you're
like, oh man, oh, why didn't she call the police? Oh, that's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many of those classic old things are just products of their time.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when your grandparents make really horrible jokes and you're like, oh, grandma, no, you can't do that. So.
No, they're allowed to marry now. It's okay. We're not. It's not like a big thing. There doesn't need to be an up. No, don't take off your shirt, grandma. Okay.
So we have like two spoilers here. One of them is fuzzy as all hell, but thanks to mythicspoiler.com for providing an actual text thing. We see that we have a 5 green elephant. So 5/5 for 7 mana that has reach, and whenever the sand steep mastodon enters the battlefield, bolster 5. So what is this bolster mechanic? It's choose a creature with the least toughness or tied with the least toughness among creatures you control, put 5 1/1 counters on it.
Boy, do I like mechanics that help out token decks.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna go on the smallest thing, but...
Well, I would take I would make my 1/1 a 6/6, sure. I mean, this is probably just going to be playable. This is probably only going to be, like, limited playable. Like, the Sandstep Mastodon probably only will be. But,
Well, for one thing, it's an elephant with 6 tusks.
Seriously? Yeah. Oh, man, I'm only looking at the MTG Salvation site. They just have the raw text. Anything with 6 tusks, okay, never mind. It wins. So.
Yeah.
That is the dopiest looking card.
But I feel like it also has some shenanigans you could do with, like, just repeatable blink. Like, slowly make your army just... big elephants?
The awkward part is you can't hit the same creature twice, you know? Like, you can't really have this be, like a Voltron enabler. Like, using Dead Navigator with this card is super awkward, because if you hit Dead Navigator, then you're forced to hit the Mastodon next. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's really weird. It's a much more limiting ability than people think it is. Like, you can't, like, this would be terrible in a current standard deck that's trying to play something like Corsair Crucifix, or trying to, hell, if they're playing, Sylvan Kyrie added. Can you imagine casting this card? How depressing that would be? Yeah, I got a 5/8 with Hexproof and Defender. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because you can use Bolster. I mean, you'd have to use Bolster on itself, right? So, like, say you even had a 1/1 out, then the 1/1 become a 6/6. You blink the Mastodon, and then you'd have to put it on the Mastodon, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
But then he'd be a 10/10, I guess.
Which ain't bad.
Yeah okay. All right. I'm back on board.
Yeah, because like Bolster, it's just gonna keep looping around. Like, it's gonna go, okay, make this small thing big, make this big, make this big, make this thing bigger than all the other things, and oh, the thing that was smallest before is now the smallest again, only now it's super fucking huge.
So yeah. It's bolster when it's one creature, but if you put in a blink mechanic, it becomes like seesaw for 5? You're just going back and forth?
Super interesting. I'm pretty sure it has reach just because it scares creatures out of the air with some tusks. Right? That's how it works. Like there's just like an air elemental going by and it sees it down there and it's like,
what in the world?
Is that 6? I gotta get closer to see. And it gets closer to see how many tusks it has, and the Mastodon's like, trap card, baby.
Oh my god. This card looks like what would happen is if you caught like a slow motion sneeze, like midair. That's so disturbing. Oh.
So, when I was talking before about how it's the choices that affect time travel movies more often, I was actually referring to Valorous Stance. The instant for 1 in the white, it says, choose 1. Target creature gains indestructible until end of turn. Destroy target creature with toughness 4 or greater. So, 2 things. 1, it was mentioned before how they changed the templating for modular effects, like with the charms. And I don't wonder if we don't have a sub-theme of modular cards in Fate Reforged. Like, we've seen the Wrath, right? where it's destroy all dragons or destroy all non-dragons. And of course, this is a time travel set, so what's going to affect the future is going to be the choices that you made in the past. And it's that butterfly effect.
I definitely agree. Also, anybody remember when they reprinted Reprisal in Journey into Nyx? That's literally one white instant destroy target creature power 4 or greater, and we already have Valorous Dance, which just has that also. It's kind of, I'm just saying, man. We're creeping up, we're creeping up the slow little hill.
But you know what's even better?
What?
This thing goes on an Isochron Scepter.
Oh, it does.
Ooh, that's pretty sweet.
I just like that you can have both Reprisal and Valorous Dance in the same deck, and you're like, oh, it's got power greater than 4. Reprisal. Oh, it's got toughness greater than 4. Valorous Dance. This is going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great in, like, white Voltron decks, right? Because you can save your guy from Wrath, and it's still removal if you don't have access to your guy.
I could actually see playing this in, like, an Isamaru deck, where you just want to be able to kill your opponent's general when it comes down, and at the same time, you're just going to want to be able to make Isamaru indestructible when you need to. Like, when you can't get Isamaru through, I'll kill that thing. When you can, your opponent tries to kill it, indestructible. And actually, I mean, I could see this being played in Commander.
Yeah, I mean, like, most modular effects, when all the effects are relevant, are going to see play. I mean, that's
flexibility.
That's why people try to play Cryptic Command in 3-color decks.
Hmm.
If I try, you mean always force it in. Yes. Yes, they do. Oh, I can't hit my third blue. It's like, no, you can't. At least I know what's in your hand.
And I think that about takes it up for the news. So, guys, we can actually record an episode.
We haven't already? Sweet. Let's get into it.
Okay, so for our main topic today, and the primary reason why we have Tom on, is because, you know, we're near the holidays, and, you know, don't you know, you have a hard time meeting up with your playgroup during the holidays. I mean, we here in the U.S. have that problem with Thanksgiving, and then we have to deal with it around Christmas. Christmas, most people just kind of have to deal with it universally. So what are the ways that you can try and play some Magic when you have a hard time meeting with the guys at the local game shop? You show up on a Saturday, and don't you know, only like 2 people are there, and they're just there to play Modern. Who'd have thought? So, going into our community segment today, we're going to look at the different experiences that you can get with different online outfits. Yeah! Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. Oh, well. So, we're going to go into our community segment now. Calvin, if you don't have enough dangly bits after tonight, I don't know what we're going to do to help you.
We should just put out like a straight up 5-hour show. Just be like, you know what, guys? This is 179 and 180. Just, we love you.
What 180 turns out to be just me, Tom, and Mark playing Moto with whoever walks into the circle.
It's like, hey, you, hey, no. I know you're online on Skype right now. Do you want to, like, play something?
For our community segment today, we're going to look at the different computer options you have for playing Magic. The biggest one, of course, being Moto, which... yeah, biggest one being Moto, which, you know, everyone should be fairly familiar with. But let's go ahead and start with some of the other ones. Like Cockatrice. Mark, you were actually unaware that Cockatrice was still a thing, as I suspect many other people are. So, we're going to go ahead and start with that.
Whoa, before we go any further with this, we're going to have to go ahead and jump into another version of the Commander Cast home version before we continue talking about anything else. This week's question was, MTGO, Duels of the Planeswalkers, Cockatrice, and many others, what is your favorite way to play digital Magic? Over on Twitter, we have MattStarkMaximus saying, I'm drafting on MTGO as we speak, though I haven't looked into Cockatrice enough to make an opinion. We have @Paperboard31 saying, MTGO is my methadone to the cardboard crack. I usually just play paper on Saturday nights, and that's enough. And we have Mr. E. Meat 4000 saying, I like my cards straight up, son. No alternatives. And over on Facebook, we have Noah saying, Cockatrice lets you set social stuff for Commander and allows for testing. Money for digital cards isn't something I'm interested in. We also have Nick saying, I enjoy Duels of the Planeswalkers for what it is. It was always there for me as a way to play Magic when I didn't know anybody else who wanted to. It has its flaws, but I've always really enjoyed it. We have Aaron saying, Cockatrice, there's no greater way to develop your abilities as a Magic player did, and to find the cheapest digital sandbox and keep playing until you've got yourself some sweet sandcastles. We've got Pedro saying, my friends and I love Cockatrice because it lets us play test entire commander decks and play over Skype so we can be ready when we order our cards and sit around the table. We have Jeremy saying Hearthstone, well, it has its flaws too, and MTGO does a good job, but it's such a sidelight to the paper game. I might be able to recreate my paper decks by duplicating my collection of new purchases and drafting many years and a few revamps. It still doesn't support Mac, and Wizards itself has interfered with other options. And that does it for this week's edition of the Commander Cast Home Version. If you want to hear your opinions heard here on the show, go over to Twitter, go over to Facebook. The Home Version question goes up. You answer it, and you'll be on it. See you later.
Couple of things though. One, Cockatrice did get a cease and desist order from WotC. And, you know, kind of a good reason why. It's actually a very good system to play with when you just want to play casually with people. You know, you can go on, you can use the chat box to kind of talk to people and play, and there are good ways to do some stuff, as long as you can figure out some of the controls and shortcuts. But it's also really good when you can get people on a Skype, and you can just kind of talk and play like you would normally at your game shop. It's what me, Mark, and Clay did last week, actually.
Yeah, it was great. I had no idea the Cockatrice were still around, man. Seriously, if you guys hadn't said something, like, because, you know, back in the day, it was tons of fun to play on, but then, yeah, WotC put the ban hammer on that thing. And understandably, I mean, hey, you know, that they make money. They, you know, it's totally using their images, like, I get it. But it's great to see it come back.
Yeah, same thing as Mark. I remember the cease and desist order, and I was just kind of like, for me at the time, I wasn't fully interested in MTGO, and at that time, since I just hadn't been playing enough IRL Magic, I was just kind of like, screw it, I'll just fully invest in MTGO, there's no way this thing can survive, and then I heard, like, the rumblings of, no, it still exists, they didn't care. So, it seems like, William, you have the most experience with it, how's Cockatrice been? The last time I played it, it was a terror.
It's still a little bit, I want to say, You gotta mess around with it a bit to figure some stuff out.
Janky.
Yeah. It's a little janky, but it's still really great for playing games.
And like, it's still free.
Yeah, and it still updates the card database. That's the important thing. Like, part of what actually convinced Mark to get it was that we told him, hey, they got the Commander 2014 cards on there. Mm. And I think there's like an extension you can get where you can actually get like pre-made tokens on there too with the token art. There's still some, I want to say, bugs with it. Like, I've re-downloaded Oracle, and sometimes I have cards that won't show up. I remember when I was looking at my IB deck to play on there, the mountains weren't showing up.
That's a problem.
Might be an issue.
I mean, it was going to be hilarious when I played Ashland in 99 Mountains, but...
I remember my experience with the Cockatrice was actually in a summer job. I was really bored. And so I was like, huh, I wonder what our download filters are like. And I was like, oh, I can download Cockatrice on this? And so while I was answering phone calls, I was just playing Aggro Loam or Tester, or just soloing Dredge to get better with the deck. Like, that was my experiences with Cockatrice. And they were great. Like, it's actually a really good option if you don't want to bust out a bunch of money and your friend and you're going to see your family who lives in Ohio and you don't know anyone around them that plays Magic.
Yeah, and see, that's the other thing, too, is that you can, not only can you really get your cards on it, but I also like to use it as just kind of like a deck maker tool. Like, I'll go ahead and I'll get my cards out and I'll start putting the cards in it to help keep track of what I have. Okay, I have this many instants, these are my enchantments, these are my creatures. And then I also like, it's also, for, again, play-wise, it's casual. That's the important thing here, is that it's casual. It's not mode where if you misclick something, it's like, oh shit, I can't take that back, or oh shit, now he just ranches me. You can actually do take backs on here and be like, okay, well, I didn't mean to do that. Let's go ahead and back it up.
Very true. That's actually really important. Like, it is kind of nice to have the drunk level 5 rules enforcement judge that Modo is. But Cockatrice definitely does let you do your takes and backs if you need to. And I know we're talking about for the holidays. I think it is actually, not to overskip this, but it is the best option if you just want to play Magic on a lower-end computer, because Modo is a beast when it comes to a program. I remember one of my favorite parts about Modo was I could load it onto my mom's terrible laptop, version 3 that is, and play it like on the beach, like, because it didn't require much. You can't do it with version 4 now, but you can do it with Cockatrice.
Yeah, version 4 is a memory hog, man. It's just,
it is.
It's strange, like, how if you're not playing that, you know, or if you just have a couple other things open, like, it will just grind to a halt on some machines. Oof. Which is ironic, because it's just, you know, 2D cards moving around. But,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I think the most I've had was, I think, 2 million it was fusing. I think that might have been the most. I've seen huge numbers for Modo. It's hilarious. And they acknowledge it, too. They have this constantly updated bug page, and one of the bugs legitimately says, "We are aware there is a memory leak issue. We are working to fix it." And it's just on the bug page. Like, we know. We're trying. Give us a little bit. It's like, dude, we've given you a year and a half.
I mean, to be fair, at least now they have their whole attention on the V4 client as opposed to having it split between the beta and the old one.
I guess, but man, that first week that the V4 client went live, wow, that was interesting to play on. I'll say that much.
I almost makes me wish that I could have joined one of those cube drafts where they forgot to turn the Phantom mode on.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right.
That's awesome. I've never heard about that.
there were some fun things about that release. The forced release, that is. The middle release was very odd. I remember, because I was streaming it, and the client was so much better for streaming for V3, as far as Commander is concerned, especially multiplayer, than it is for version 4, because it gave you the four quarters where each player had an even amount of the screen.
Yeah.
Whereas on version 4, you have half the screen, your opponents each have 1/6 of the screen, which is not as good for showing people, obviously, displaying. But the other greatest part about version 3 was that you were able to change the picture files, because the picture files were held locally. So you could edit them to be whatever you want. So I know I would like to put viewers' faces in it, but one of my favorite streamers, Boyko, would do an art contest, and my favorite one was for Temple of Malady. Someone put it as Temple of Malady, and it was that guy tipping his fedora, like, inside of the Temple of Malady. It was hilarious. So we were talking, like, Cockatrice, right? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's part of why we're not really talking about Modo, because the comparisons are gonna come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy to go through the entire Modo discussion about why I actually think it's a good product, but, like, I think Cockatrice is a very good alternative. Like, especially since it's still working.
Yeah. I would recommend, though, that people go ahead and register before they really connect to Cockatrice, and you can do that on WoogleWorks, because then you can go ahead and you can actually build a buddy list, you can, if you get kicked out of a game because you got disconnected, you'll be able to reconnect if you're a registered user.
Actually, that's a really good point. Can you give people, like, a good basis on, like, the common problems with Cockatrice? Because I'll do the same thing for Modo. Like, if someone wants to go home because they're with their family and they just want to download Cockatrice, like, is there some things they got to watch out for?
In terms of something they got to watch out for, you know, just because it's not an automated system, you have to remember to use the chat to communicate to the other player. Especially if you're going online to just test modern or whatever with people you don't know. Like, for my purposes, I've used cockatrice primarily with people I do know, but they're just not local, so I can't play with them. Like,
right.
I'll get my sister and her boyfriend on, or there was someone, or I've played games with people in London that I know from, like, Skype and Tumblr.
Yeah.
So we'll play games on cockatrice there. The problem sometimes comes when, like, you have a hard time connecting, and it keeps dropping the game. So that's part of why being registered helps out a lot.
That sounds about right. I remember when I was playing it, I like to call it the arrow machine. There is just so many arrows at all times.
Yeah.
As someone who might be coming back to the product, has that changed, or is it still arrow-filled?
No, it's still arrow-filled until, like, past phases or whatever. And that's another
I love that.
And that's another thing, too, is that you really want to invest in getting to know the different shortcuts and stuff. Like, I didn't know that you could put cards face down on cockatrice by holding shift when you were dragging them from your hand. And
that seems really
important. Like, that just blew my mind. Like, if anything, Clay is more the expert on cockatrice because he plays on more regularly than I do.
No.
Like, and there's, like, etiquette stuff. Like, you would, like, you, like, there's a, when you go to pass the turn, anyone can click on the pass the turn to move the turn cycle. Like, on cockatrice, it's apparently etiquette that you would go to your end phase, and then you let your opponent click on the pass to move it to their turn if they don't have anything they want to do.
Yeah, that was the thing I could never get the hang of. I'm not that smart, so whatever. Everyone just kept prompting me, like, mark it's your turn, mark it's your turn, mark it's your turn.
Yeah.
No, okay.
And setting up games too, like, you can set it up so that they're password protected, but you can also set it up so that they're in different categories too. And that's the thing too. If you're registered and you're trying to set up the game, you want to make sure that you don't have it set so that only buddies can join, or that only registered users can join, especially if you know that people joining you aren't necessarily on your buddy list or on registered user list.
Speaking of the player base, how big is it? Like, if I wanted to just get a game of VDH in my underwear at 10 p.m., is it really that feasible with Cockatrice?
Yeah, it's supposed to be. Like, you'll get, like, I was actually more surprised. Like, it's probably not smart to do this, but if I went by my comparison for when I went on Moto today to play EDH, I would have a much better chance of finding games on Cockatrice. Like, I went on there to play the pre-con today, and, like, almost all the games were one-on-one. There wasn't anyone hosting a multiplayer game. And I was like, that doesn't seem right. I mean, maybe it had something to do with the fact that it's during the workday, but...
That could be it, but... I know, I'm definitely a special case when it comes to this, but whenever, I guess that's why I always host games. I guess that'd be my suggestion for you when it comes to Moto, is always host games. Like, even if there's, like, a game with one person in it, one of the main things when it comes to Moto is that it is time-based as far as how high it is up on the queue. So, like, if there's someone who's been hosting a game for, like, 3 minutes, don't join theirs. Just host your own and they'll jump into it, because it'll be higher up on the queue and more people will see it. I know that's my little tip, I guess, or trick as far as getting a multiplayer game in FTGO when it comes to EDH, is just host your own. They will come. Hopefully they'll come.
All right, noted.
The Field of Dreams approach.
Exactly. Yep. Now, here is my question. I know I asked this earlier. I didn't ask this on air, but are we talking about with other people, or what if I just want to play with myself?
Phrasing?
That came out wrong. But and now, I wanted to play solo.
And now everyone knows why this episode is called Underwear Magic.
Exactly.
Yes, actually, we're going to talk about both. And I think the next game fits nicely into that category.
Talking about them duels?
Duels! Yeah, Duels of the Planeswalkers.
And man, I love me some Duels of the Planeswalkers. That's actually what got me back into Magic. After so long being out, after Homelands and Fallen Empires broke my soul, and then, like, a couple of my buddies started playing Duels of the Planeswalkers and originally got out on the Xbox 360. And they're like, dude, you gotta hit this up. I'm like, oh, I don't know, I did that back in the day. And I finally got hooked again. So, that's what did it. I thought it was a great product. And now that it's out on, you know, practically everything. I usually play it on my iPad now. Or at least M15. It was great. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. If I just want to sit around and just play, I don't know, I guess it's not really bot magic. I don't know, it's still fun. What the hell, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm liking Duels, what's the current one, 2015?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as big a fan as 2015 because it feels like you have to do a lot of grinding to get your deck up.
Yeah, it's not quite as good. Good, bud. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely been the most frustrating duels that I've played against, just because, you know, you're playing your deck and then you get to that one person that just destroys you. Like, I couldn't beat, like, it took me 5 games to beat Liliana in a strat, just because it seemed like she always had managed to get the big-ass demon, or she had all the board wipes for my guys.
I will say, I would love to go on the record saying that I think the best decision Watsi's made in the past 5, maybe 10 years has been Duels of the Planeswalkers. Like, that product, when it first came out, got so many people back into Magic, like yourself, Mark. But, like, the promos were the Titans, so people who weren't gonna get it anyways, got it for the Titans. I know, like, I got Duels of the Planeswalkers because I got a Primeval Titan because I got Duels of the Planeswalkers. Like, that was obnoxious. And, but that product is so good! Yeah, the first one was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's basic, but it was amazing. It was exactly what you wanted. It was better than, like, the terrible Xbox one where you were a sorcerer that had to dodge your opponent's attacks. And, oh, God, I'm like a giant spider. And they're like, fireball. And you're like, this is stupid. But no, that Duels of the Planeswalkers is seriously a legitimately good product. This most recent version they've come out of stating was mistakenly made. They've come out and said, like, they didn't like what they did with it.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's on iPad and stuff, but I know they came back and said they don't like the grinding nature of it.
Yeah.
For the grind nature, I'm also glad that they decided to take out the you can buy packs stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it came out as, I mean, I don't know if you guys are really big, like, video game players, but it had a definite, like, free-to-play vibe to it, yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's just like, oh, man, it really soured me on it. I mean, I still played it, and I still thought it was a quality product for what it was. You know, let's not talk it up too much, but, yeah, once it started adding in the free-to-play and buy your booster packs, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, you know?
The medium gaming, the Canadian gaming, it'll get you. It's that Canadian devil, man. That's all it is. sorry, that's South Park episode, but I did the original one I bought, I guess it was the original duels 2013 and 2014 are all sitting on my Xbox 360, and I played through all of them. I've been playing competitively since Lorwyn, and I still play the Duels of Planeswalkers product. They're just a blast to play. Like, sometimes you literally just want to sit down and play a dirtily green-black deck against all these different versions. Or my favorite was the Jace Illusion deck.
Yes! Oh my god, I love that thing.
That deck is so much fun. It's like, mm-hmm. I play Phantasmal Bear, I play Krovikinus, I play Lord of Illusions Phantasmal Bear, die?
Yep.
So much fun!
Yep, amazing, man, amazing. Yeah. That's hilarious you said that.
I want to get, I think it was the 2012 one where they introduced Ral, Zeref, and Kiora as Dex characters. Like, I want to get...
Those are pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, I want to get that one so I can play with the Kiora deck. But I think my favorite so far was last year's, because I could start off with the White Weenie deck. And you
I'm not sure if the Kiora deck or the Jace deck was better, but that Kiora deck is so much fun. Like, it gives you the simple pleasure of just casting Cultivate and then ending with an Eldrazi. Like, yep. It's a blast. It's an absolute blast. And the unlocks for that deck, I think the unlock idea for the whole entire series has been such a great idea. I have grinded so much with so many decks just because I've been like, dude, I really need a second block. I'm playing other games.
That's the model I like more than you get a pack with random cards from that set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think, like, to this day, I think Will said it before, I'll go back and I'll play 2014, because 2014 is so much fun, man. Like, I didn't think I'd ever have fun playing Fengren Firstborn again, but that green deck is so stupid and awesome, it's like, I'm gonna put counters on shit. I don't know why, this is like, you're such a shitty card in the real world, but I love you on duels, so.
And it's fun just playing that one deck that really works how you want it to work. Like, I know my friend Kevin loves the Chandra deck, and he plays it ad nauseum, and he's just kind of like, hey, you want to play it? I'm like, no, please don't. But, like, I'm going back to that Jace deck, because I just loved it so much. Like, when I first unlocked the Jace deck, and I played it once, I was like, wait, this isn't just Counterspell to get the beatdown? Oh, this is the best beatdown deck? Oh, wait, the unlocks are insane? I grinded through, like, 25 games in like, an entire city.
No,
like, it's just so much fun.
I flipped so much shit when I was playing 2014. I was fighting Jace. Jace's powered up deck, and then he cranks out the Cryptic Command. I'm like, what? What the fuck? I went through his deck list for all the unlockables, and I was like, I can't get Cryptic Command. What the fuck is this?
I do love. I thought the concept of having the big bat at the end, with like, oh, I'm gonna play, you know, Mox Opal. I think it was Nicol Bolas in one, and the last one was that crazy haired hermit guy.
Yeah, Ramaz.
Like, that's such a great concept for a game. I loved it. And when I was playing against them, it really made me want to, like, grind out the deck so I get the best version against these decks. And then, of course, sometimes you get those draws where your opponent just, like, keeps on five or keeps on one lander, and you're just like, oh, sweet, free win. Like, those definitely happen. They're hilarious.
Yep. I remember, like, even it puts a spin on certain other characters. Like, I remember the very first one on the 360, like, Karn was one of the big, like, final bosses or whatever. He was the biggest douche on the fucking planet. And, like, Karn's supposed to be this nice little silver golem out for everybody. He was a fucking unrelenting asshole. He was like the Gandhi of the Civilization games. It was like, Jesus Christ, I thought you were supposed to be a decent dude. Nope, fucking just beat your ass in the face, like, every time.
One of the coolest things for me is that the storylines that they've built into duels now are canon storylines that you can play through.
Like, they are canon?
Yeah, they're canon. Like, the journey you go on with Chandra's journey to find Ramaz is canon.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and this, in Duels 2015, is the story of Garrick and how he's been corrupted and how they've stymied the curse somewhat with that stone from Zendikar. Like, the whole reason I got 2015 was because I wanted to play through the story.
I'm not going to lie, I'm waiting for it to go on Steam sale on Winter, and I might grab it. Like, I haven't played 2015 yet.
Yeah,
plus, the other nice thing is that it's a standalone product, and it can go on sale. Like, that's kind of cool, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting
it. And also, it's totally worth the money, right?
Can you get Steam on tablets?
You were saying you were playing it on your iPad, right, Mark?
Yeah, I've been playing on my iPad. And it was one of those, like, you know, it was, I think it was free when it came out, or maybe I paid, I don't know. To be honest, maybe it was one of those apps that I paid for, and I didn't even realize I paid for it, so... Should I do that? There's so many random ass games sometimes I'll play. I'll be like, ooh, whatever. I'm like the goddamn dog in Up. I'm like, oh, squirrel! And I just, like, tap shit. And I said, okay, sure, whatever. So.
No, but I would definitely say if you're with your family and they're being unbearable, like the duel games are pretty great if you just want to chill out for like 3 hours. Like screw reading, play Magic.
Oh man, I totally did that. Like I went on vacation. I think it was like 2 years ago, the last family vacation I'll ever go on with my sister and her kids. Like I love my sister mostly because I have to love my sister. But oh man, Yep, and I was like, one of the only things that kept my sanity was 2014, man. Like, if it wasn't for Duels of the Planeswalkers 2014, and I could just put that on and be like, no, I'm doing something for work, and I'm just playing Magic and just not paying attention to kids. It was great.
There'd be a broken family, thank you, Watson.
Exactly, see that?
Now, see, I like that they've done, like, the different, modes on Duels 2. Like, they have multiplayer ones where you can play against multiplayer computers, or you could just, you know, kind of try and hook up with your friends.
Arch Enemy was great.
Yeah, but they've got Arch Enemy and Plane Chase, so I'm just kind of waiting for them to come out with the version that has Commander on it.
That would be cool, but what about those challenges, though?
The challenges. Ugh.
What about those challenges, though?
Don't get me started on those.
I love the challenges.
No.
I love the challenges. I could hug them. If they were a person, I'd give them a hug.
Okay, the original ones were goddamn broken. Like, some of the high-level ones, like, those things
so
just...
Oh, difficult.
Yeah, it just didn't... But some of them, like, you would play Illegal Action, they're like, no, you can't do it that way. But I'm like, that's not... No, they're like, no, you gotta do it the way we said to do it. I'm like, but you didn't say that, you just said, solve this puzzle. Like, oh, no, solve it the way we want to, or just go the way.
I, like, literally brute-forced one of the challenges. I was just like, there's no way to do this. I'm just doing every single option I can until it works. It's like, nope, didn't work this way. Start it over. Nope, didn't work this way. Start it over. I searched my deck for this. Don't have enough mana. God damn it. Let's be cap and try. No.
Those stupid theme decks, though, when you, like on 2015, when you go to fight, like, the random Innistrad guys to try and grind out packs, that stupid spider deck. Oh, my fucking... I've already had... Acrophobia, kind of badly. I did not need it extended by this fucking spider deck that eats all of my spirit tokens.
Oh god, that's true.
And like, this is the only deck that I have that is good. And it's getting eaten alive by fucking spider tokens.
Yep.
Or of course there's also the really funny ones, which is like, I play Suntail Hawk, and then I play Suntail Hawk. And then I play Suntail Hawk. And then I got Suntail Hawk. Playing Suntail Hawk.
I swear to God, like before I got back into Magic, I thought that Elspeth just made Suntail Hawks. Like that's I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is all this goddamn deck has is Suntail Hawk. Why would you? Oh God, it was terrible. So the worst.
Elspeth was one of the decks.
Oh, Elspeth was like the figure on the deck. Like, she wasn't in the deck, you know what I mean? Like, would just do the bait and switch, because it was called Duels of the Planeswalkers, but you couldn't play with a Planeswalker.
She was one of the character decks.
I think in the
she was. Yeah, I think so. Either that or she just looked a hell of a lot like Elspeth. I don't know. It was either Elspeth or like Elspeth's like younger sister. How about that? I don't know. Elspeth's younger sister who loved Suntail Hawks. So.
Elspeth's younger sister who wasn't torn apart by Phyrexians?
That one, yeah. The one who stayed in and went to college, and, like, the parents were like...
And I'm like, why can't you just stay home, Elspeth, like your sister, and raise Suntail Hawks? You know?
I didn't save another plane! God, Mom, you don't understand!
Right, yeah, and we saw where that got her. Okay. So what other ways are there to play Magic online? Like, we've hit on kind of the big two, but there are some other avenues out there.
So there's one that I really like, that I've been playing, that I haven't officially been playing, because I'm pretty sure it's super not cool. It's called Forge. It's very similar, it's like Cockatrice plus Duels combined, except it lets you draft, and it lets you do sealed, ooh, which is awesome. And it's updated with the current sets, so it's like a nice community of like, I think like 10 people putting this thing out. But it's a freeware, game, and it's called Forge. You can find it, just type in Forge MTG into Google and you'll find it. Same place you download Chandelar, by the way, which we'll get into, because that's super. But it's really a great standalone. I have an hour, and I kind of want to build this deck and see how it works. The only problem is you can't play it online, but it lets you draft and do sealed, which it actually does. The way it drafts is pretty funny. What they do is the people who make it put out this draft pick order list, and then they use that for the draft picks when you draft against people. So you can make some pretty cool decks, but I've actually really, really, really been liking Forge. I think I've sunk like 50-plus hours into it. Like, it's just been a blast to be able to just sit down and be like, you know what? I really love the Lara draft. Let me draft Shards of Alara, or let me draft Triple World Waker. Let me do a Constant Arceus Sealed, or oh, and the other cool thing is the same thing you like in Duels with Planeswalkers, where you can grind a deck. Same thing in Forge, where you can start off with a base deck out of X amount of packs instead. And then you play against people and you get coins. You can then spend those coins in specific stores, to buy new cards for your deck as well as upgrade it. So I started off with a terrible 4-color monstrosity, and now I have a tuned blue-white deck with 4 Ancestral Recalls, 4 Black Lotuses, 4 Time Walks, 2 Elspeth, 2 Gideon, a Sword of Fire and Ice. Like, it's just been really, really, really fun. Completely free, no extra buy-ins, no extra anything. It's just been, this is standalone Magic. The rules work is a little bit clunky to use, but it's just been really, really fun. Kind of like, really just what you kind of want to do. If you just want to try out a deck, or if you want to play a pretty bare-bones campaign, but you just want to play Magic for free, it gives you what you want. So that's Forge, I guess. Have either of you ever heard of it?
I definitely going to try it out, man.
I've heard about it because my roommate's been trying to get me on it. I haven't tried it out yet, just because it's one of those things where I could, where if I have like a couple hours, I can either waste some time trying to figure this out, get frustrated when I can't figure it out, or I could go catch up on Legend of Korra.
No, that's completely fair. And I'm not saying go run out and play for it. But I will say, if you're looking for an alternative to MTGO, if you don't want to stick the money into it, I actually think Forge is a pretty good option for you. Like, if you want a draft, if you want it to all be for free, if you want to have a pretty cool story, like, you get to get familiars. Like, you can start out the game with a 1-1. You can start out the game with a 2-2 death touch with Hexproof. Just, it's on the battlefield at the beginning of the game, on your side of the battlefield. It's the silliest thing. And it's actually, I got a smile on my face talking about it, because I really do dislike it. Like, it's completely free. It's freeware. Like, it is not something anyone's asking money for. It's something a couple of guys are putting together as kind of a love project to Magic. And they're tired of having to pay for it. So they are sharing it with people. And I'm happy. As long as they're sharing it, man, I'll take it down. It's been pretty great. Yeah, I would definitely suggest at least looking it up, because it's been very cool.
So, cool. I'm definitely going to try that out, man.
Okay, so the last thing I want to go ahead and bring up is a website that I'm actually not familiar with, but I've heard people playing it, and I can kind of see why, just from looking at stuff like the FAQ and other stuff, and that's Untap.
Ooh, what's that?
So Untap is a browser-based game, browser-based system where you can use it to play any card game, really. I have no clue how they're able to do this or what they do with it, but it's one of those things where you can make like custom cards for your game, you can put in cards for different games. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've heard people playing Magic on it. I don't know, it's one of those weird browser-based ones that you can actually play on your iPad or whatever. I don't know. I just figured that Untap was worth getting out there. And if anybody actually plays Untap, go ahead and send us an email. We'll go ahead and go into that in a little more detail in a future episode.
Yeah, definitely. If it's browser-based, I mean, remember, not to keep digging onto WotC here, but do you remember when MTGO version 3 was kind of dying and everyone was like, oh, what's version 4 going to be? And someone at WotC said, oh, yeah, we're looking to go browser-based. And everyone was like, oh, what? There's a reason why. It'd be the best thing ever. But that obviously didn't happen.
It means that you don't have to have your computer to hold everything that Modo is.
Exactly.
Like, you can just log on, and your account is all there, and all your stuff is already there on the internet, web, from anywhere. You can use any computer to play it.
Hearthstone.
Even your phone or something, God. Or a tablet device or anything. You can even use your Mac. You could even use your Mac to play MTGO. What? That is future right there.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Watts is just not used to, like, this whole crazy coding thing as V4 kind of attests to. But, man, they really need to get on that. You know, other companies are just kind of jumping on it. I don't know, Blizzard's been knocking it out of the park. Like, and it makes me sad because I don't really like Hearthstone as a game that much. But, like, every time I log on, I'm like, oh, this could be Modo. But,
see, that's going to be the last thing that we actually end up talking about is Hearthstone.
It's also infinitely less complex.
Yeah.
True.
Like, remember, Hearthstone is in pre-alpha. Like, I think it might have gotten up to the amount of cards in alpha now, with its third release expansion. Like, there's a reason that it's easy to get around to, because it's easy to get around to. But their intro system's really easy and much better than, you want to just start talking about MTGO now legit? Because there's some issues with it. And, I mean, I do think it's good, though, for Commander.
Yeah, I mean, like, all there really is to say about Hearthstone is that it feels like diet magic.
Oh, I mean, if you want to, let's get into Hearthstone. I think it's a really good point, actually. Like,
yeah.
Hearthstone is a great, I think it's a great game. Like, I know it's diet magic, but seriously, like, their concepts work really well. They eliminated the problem with mana screw. Like, there is no mana screw.
Well,
that's
the thing, though, is that mana is one of the trifactas of, you know, the breakout for what magic is. It gives you a sort of limitation resource. Like, yeah, you still, if you get all the lands, you can still go one drop, two drop, three drop. But then it also creates this interesting tension for magic that a lot of other games don't have because they don't have that same kind of resource system. I mean, like, different things for different people. Some people just hate the system so much because it seems like they get screwed so often. But then it's also that system that creates so many awesome tales of, yeah, I was stuck on three lands, and if I could just get that fourth one, I could change this all around. And
no, I agree. I definitely agree. I think the fact that there's mana management in Magic is really important. You never have to go through the decision of, should I play Llanowar Wastes or should I just play a forest in this slot for my standard deck? Or you don't have to go through the, I'm trying to make a five-color commander deck, what are the lands I use? Like, that's not a thing you have to do in Hearthstone. I do think that will be a thing in Hearthstone. I wouldn't be surprised if they implement a class that uses a specific type of mana resource, or that creates a new type of mana resource for that format. Like, I think that's definitely a way it can expand. But it's just hitting alpha. It's not even hitting revised yet, you know? It's not even hitting Arabian Nights. There is a lot of length for that to go, and it's just been exploding, but for a reason. As Mark mentioned, it's pretty. It is legitimately pretty.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not to bring, like, the old guy perspective on, but, you know, I can watch TV on my phone, man. When I was a kid, that shit was science fiction. And now, like, how long is it going to be until we can play even a game as complex as Magic, Commander, like, multiplayer Commander, like, on a tablet or a phone?
We finally have Risk communicators.
Yes, exactly. See, the Dick Tracy Risk communicators are a thing. I don't have my jetpack yet, but I'll trade it for, like, Moto on a tablet. So,
Dick Tracy is a good movie in a funny sense. I'm not saying I'm standing behind it. It's not a 5-star movie. I want to put that out there. Don't put that on me.
Yeah.
But it's a fun movie to watch, man. It's a fun movie to watch.
See,
hey, man, I'm still the guy who likes Man of Steel, so.
Just, oh, that's fine.
Internet don't hate me. Internet don't hate me.
You see, this is the part where we can get Calvin to take Tom out of context to say Dick Tracy is a 5-star movie.
Dick Tracy is a fun movie to watch, man. It's a 5-star movie. I want to put that out there. Oh, well, Madonna? I don't know. Just to go a little bit more into Hearthstone, though, I mean, like, as someone who streams on Twitch, seeing Twitch streamers on Hearthstone with 20,000 people, there is a reason why. That, you can look at someone playing Hearthstone for 5 minutes and understand how the game works. You don't even, and you can go online, download the Hearthstone UI, play the tutorial, and pretty much know how to play it. I've seen videos where people bring their mom into the room, they're like, Mom, try out the Hearthstone tutorial. They play the Hearthstone tutorial, and they beat the last boss in the tutorial, and they know how to play the game. Like, the game is simple at its core. And that's something that Hearthstone has over Magic that Magic will never be able to trump. And as someone who plays Magic, I don't mind. I like the complexity. I like that I have to decide if I want to play Vivid Grove first or if I want to play an island and Brainstorm first. Like, that is something that I love to be able to think about. But again, there's a reason why Amaz has 21,000 viewers while he's playing Hearthstone. It's because it's so easy to pick up if they want to watch it. For people who stream Magic like myself, the people that we're trying to access are people who already play Magic. I've attracted 25 max people who have never seen Magic before, and their first thing they say is, wait, how does this work? And I try and explain it in like a minute, but it's impossible. So basically what I end up saying is, if you want to try it out, grab Duels of the Planeswalkers. It's a really good introduction. Don't grab MTGO. Grab Duels of the Planeswalkers. It'll show you how to really play the game. I would heavily suggest it.
And then you can be disappointed by how lack of graphics Moto is.
Yeah. But you can't, I'm not saying it's apples to oranges, but I think it's oranges to tangerines.
Well, like, see, actually, I never really liked that apples and oranges comparison thing because they're both fruit. You can still compare them on that axis.
Yeah. I think it's cars to trucks, you know, like, WotC is definitely different. I said WotC. Magic is definitely different than Hearthstone. Like, there is a 100% difference between the two. And it's all in the complexity. But, I mean, Magic's a better game. I don't, I mean, even Hearthstone streamers who have played both can't argue that Magic's a better game, because it is.
Yeah.
It just is. But it's definitely not as pretty.
I will say, with Hearthstone, I am much more content to play straight burn than I am in Magic. I mean, there's just something satisfying about throwing fireballs at people's faces on that game.
And that is like a visceral, like when you cast Pyroblast, it's this huge rolling ball from your champion, hero, going straight at the opponent. And it looks awesome. Like, that is, it's
oh,
so
some
cool
of my, one of my favorite things to do is to just line up a get my mana crystals ready, I guess, and just go, okay, click it as fast as I can to get everything, and just be like, boom, 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 boom. Now I know why Chandra likes so much.
I guess there's a visceral thrill of when you make an action, there's an actual reaction. When you play a, even like a Murloc, you get a, when it enters the battlefield. Like, when you play a fireball, you say fireball erupt and hit something else. I was about to say perfect game, but it's a 4.5 out of 5 game. Like, it gives you the awesome,
it's an experience.
It gives you the awesome action response you get from straight up video games on your Xbox. But it also gives you the, should I be playing Joe and Yeti here? Or should I be healing myself and then, playing a healer here? It still gives you those decisions that you're looking
for. Yeah, but, you know, on the same token, like, it really makes me mad because I like the Duels of the Planeswalkers interface, and I know there's I'm sure, a coding nightmare on the backside of that, and, you know, like, you can't just force one into the other, and you can't just take all these, you know, tens of thousands of cards over Magic's lifetime and stick them in code for each and every single one.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could come with some generic ones or something, or, I don't know, man. I feel like this is something that if you applied enough manpower to it, you could solve it. You could make Magic pretty online, or make a pretty Magic game that is a lot more open than something closed like Duels of the Planeswalkers. Like, there's nothing wrong with Duels of the Planeswalkers, but, you know, the big problem, obviously, for us and our audience is you can't play Magic on, or you can't play Commander on Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Nope.
The day they can, I'm gonna be the happiest dude on the planet. Like, it's gonna be, again, almost as good as getting those jetpacks I was promised by science fiction when I was a kid, but,
And the other thing pretty Magic might be, as you're mentioning, like, they may have started their game too early. Like, Hearthstone is going to be able to code their cards one by one by one to have interesting interactions. When you play a Sneed Old Shredder from the new set, you can code a new animation for it. Imagine trying to code animations for 20,000 cards. Just imagine how long that would take. That's what you're asking people to do when you're saying stuff like, why doesn't MTGO do the same thing as Hearthstone? It's like, dude, what about if you're making deserter tokens? What is that animation going to look like? What if you're sacrificing Tinderwall? What's that animation going to look like? What if you're making pests with Nuisance Engine? What's that animation going to look like? What happens when that pest is killed by a fireball? What's that animation going to look like? Like, there's definitely, I don't think Magic can ever look that pretty, but it is still disappointing to see what the state of MTGO is right now. Speaking of MTGO, but before we get into that, what were you going to say, William?
Well, I was going to segue into it, but you're already rolling, Tom, so go ahead.
Oh, my bad. So I guess the big elephant in the room, or big memory-leaking program in the room, a resource-hogging program in the room, is MTGO, Magic the Gathering Online. As someone who streams it and who plays it a lot, there is definitely some problems with it. It's legitimately not perfect. It might not even be great. It might not even be good. But the thing about it is, and I'm glad I'm on CommanderCast to talk about this, I love MTGO for EDH. I actually do. I know that might sound weird, but seriously, what they do for EDH is great. You can build a commander deck for $10 in Magic the Gathering Online. Easy. And it'll be decent to good. Like, I have a whole list of decks I made for $10 on that program that have beaten decks that are worth thousands. Like, how I like to put it is, it's like the Wild West days. Sorry, not Wild West days. It was before Commander got really popular, when you used to be able to get stuff like Woodfall Primus for 25 cents. And you used to be like, oh yeah, cool, I'll play this in my Commander deck. When you played quarter rares, and they were still quarter rares, Staff of Domination didn't cost $5. And stuff like that. I think that's definitely one of my favorite parts about MTGO, but that cost is there. It's a legitimate cost. It costs money! Jesus, it actually costs money.
Yeah, that's always been my big thing about Moto. Like, it seems like the perfect option for someone like me who has a hard time getting to my regular playgroup when work keeps throwing schedules at me and all that. But, like, I don't know. For me, the hardest part about Moto is trying to navigate the vendors and trying to figure out which one I want. Like, I remember I've asked you before, and I've asked you again and again, hey, which bot should I check out? And I hear Marlin Bot. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Okay, where the fuck is Marlin Bot?
I just realized how bad of a suggestion that is. Good point. I can walk you through it in, like, 25, 30 seconds. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just realized how terrible a suggestion is. I'm never doing that again. Thank you. But you're not wrong. Jesus Christ, you're not wrong. I guess, why don't we start with chipping it down, though? How do you think about the fact that Modo legitimately costs money? It costs $10 to sign up.
Wait, what?
Yep.
I remember that now. I remember that now. Yeah, there was. I mean, on the one hand, you start with cards. And you're buying an entire client for your computer. So in that sense, it makes sense that way. If it was just a browser-based game, I would be extremely skeptical about that. But, you know, since you're actually downloading a product, I guess I don't really see anything wrong with that. Especially since people can just start giving you cards from there and you can start playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I guess it's just one of those things, right? Like, some people would say, well, why didn't you just get a subscription thing where you can get, like, X amount of free drafts after you've paid your subscription and all that.
Yeah, it's definitely very odd. I was trying to look up the new account, but I can't navigate WotC's website, of course. And they're asking a million things before I can get to the page. But I was very glad they didn't have to pay for an account when I first signed up. That was really great. If I was asked to pay $10 for Modo, I don't know if I could stomach it. Especially if I think you only get like 3 tickets to spend once you do it. I know you get a bunch of base cards, but they're like Magic 2015 commons and uncommons. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm glad that they took out those stupid gold border cards that you can only play against like other people using those gold cards.
Planeswalker packs, I vomited a little bit in my mouth when you brought them back up. Yeah, I hated those things. I remember there were people who would literally ask them to remove them from my account, please. Like,
yeah, that's what you had to do too.
Yeah.
And like, as soon as they switched the new V4 clients, like, yeah, no, they're gone. They're already off your account. I was so thankful for that.
So for those who haven't picked up MTGO, it is a $10 activation fee for your account. You do get packs and you can enter a draft and stuff like that. As far as the benefits for MTGO is like the other ones where you get to play in your underwear. It's nice. But it also has drafting and it also has sealed. It has actual tournaments. You can play a lot of different casual formats, everything from Momir to Cube to Popper to obviously Commander.
Yeah, they've got the Holiday Cube up right now.
Holiday Cube's right up right now. You can play with your Black Lotuses and your Moxins and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I need to do that before they take it away. I've got Phantom tickets.
The main sticking point is that cost, though. Like, it's $10 to sign up, and a draft costs $12. Like, it is a literal one-to-one with real life. Which, for a lot of people, and even myself, like, that one-to-one is kind of surprising and really hard to stomach. Like, I would never suggest, if someone's going off to be with their family for 2 days, don't you dare download Modo. Just don't do it. I'm just gonna be honest with you, it's a stupid-ass idea. It's not worth it. Download Duels of the Planeswalkers, download Forge, download Cockatrice, download Hearthstone. But don't download Modo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, like, I was so hesitant to go online to play the precons because I was thinking, okay, well, it would probably be a lot cheaper to go online, find all the individual cards for that deck list, and then just assemble it that way. But then I realized how much of a pain of an ass it is for me to go through all the vendors and get what I want. So I'm like, okay, you know what? No, I'm just going to drop down to 35, get the precon, and I'll just play it out there.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing that online does have over, you know, playing in the real, especially as far as Commander goes, is that, you know, you only need one copy of a card.
Oh, now, God, it's so much better.
Oh, my God. It's like, just being so abysmally lazy like I am and not wanting to shift a card from one deck to another, just mm-hmm. and, like, just so pathetically lazy that I can't take a card out of a sleeve and put it in another deck, you know? Like, sounds just horrible like that.
Dude,
but, man, it makes a difference, you know?
I've got, like, 27-plus decks here. I can't afford to keep moving Soul Rings around.
Right. There you go. You only need one.
One Solemn Simulacrum. That's all you need. That's all you need.
I mean, if you're doing, right. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. It's so easy to switch from deck to deck, you know, or swap out new cards. Like, but the problem is like that initial outlay of money. Like, you know, I don't draft. I don't do anything except for Commander online. And it's a lot of fun. But again, like, you know, I don't want to know how much money I've spent on Commander. Like, That's probably like money I could have like been putting into my car or my house or something, and now I have like, you know, imaginary cards online somewhere. Like, but still, it's fun, you know.
I will say the cool thing is that they still do the, if you have, you can turn in an entire set's worth of cards plus X plus some amount of money and they'll ship you physical cards.
That is true. And that's technically, that's why they keep the prices what they are. Because if they weren't at current legal tender prices, then the, not called retribution, the being able to turn an entire set and get it back. They have a specific word for it. That would be cheaper than buying cards in real life and people might exploit the system. So that's their reasoning as to why. They keep prices for specific things in their inventory at what they are, so that it's not cheaper, so it doesn't cheat your local brick and mortar stores. Because if you could just buy buy specific cards online and turn them in for a new set, it might be advantageous for you to do that online instead of going to your local brick and mortar and buying the perforos you need. That's their argument, and I agree with it. That makes sense. But hey, if all it takes is to get rid of that, and I can go back to and you can sell me packs for $1, I would take it in a heartbeat. Like, if that's what's keeping prices so up high, dude, take it away. I don't use it. The people that use it, we're talking about 0.01% of Magic Gathering Online users have ever turned in for an entire set. Like, take it away if it means I can buy a pack for $1. It means event tickets for 50 cents. I don't care if it crashes the market. I don't care that I've spent way too much money on this product. Do it. Just please do it. I'll take it in a damn second. Ugh.
I mean, hey, this is also the one area where you can own a Black Lotus, in quotations.
Yep. You can. And it's pretty cool. Just to speak a little bit more on Commander and MTGO, because this is Commander Cast, so you might as well get into it. You can play both 1v1, two-headed giant, you can play four-player, you can play all your favorite versions of Commander on Magic Gathering Online. It has a lot of cards you're not going to be able to get in other places. Have you ever wanted to play with Force Field? Have you ever wanted to play with Moat? Have you ever wanted to play with some really random expensive card? It's half price, if not less. Force Field's like $4. You can play with Portal of Three Kingdoms cards. Do you ever want to play with Zhao Dun the One-Eyed? You can play with it on Modo. You want to play with Dao Chan and not spend out your booty for it? You can play it on Modo for $3. You want to play with Capture Jin Zhao and not to pay $50? $4 on MTGO. That's really one of the best places it has over Magic the Gathering in real life, is that the prices, especially for harder to get cards, are so much less than in real life. It's obnoxious. And it's a great, great, great part about it. I do love the fact that the singles are, as I mentioned before, 25 cents for a lot of cards you want to play. Build the ally deck for like, what, $15?
Yep. Jesus, you know, Tom, when you said Force Field, like, that was exactly what I was thinking. Because I think I bought Force Field online for maybe $1. And
yeah.
I have been, like, puka trading my ass off for the past year trying to save up enough points to get an actual Force Field in real life. Because I love playing with that thing. Like, that in my Karn artifact deck is a beast. It is awesome. But there's no way I'm going to actually shell out almost $150 for just an unlimited version of Force Field in the real. That's crazy.
That is so bizarre. I just had that game where I was playing the Alpha Striking Elf deck. Someone played a Force Field.
Yeah.
And that is a crazy cool happened circumstance.
Force Field is amazing.
I just looked on TCG players, $90 without shipping, $90 for a Force Field. Yep. And on Magic Gathering Online, it's like $1.
Yeah, and that's heavily played too.
Yeah.
That is beat up
in someone's sock drawer.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's like playing with these old cards, you know, like, one of these days I'm going to write this article, but I think, like, Vintage Masters was the best thing to happen to EDH Online, because, like, a bunch of stuff came back into circulation, it was a lot easier to get, you know, like...
Original Zools, baby!
How much are you going for now? Like, $5 a piece?
I know, there was a point, and I pointed this out, and it was hilarious, there was a point where, I'm not kidding you, Taiga would cost less than a stomping ground. Like, that was happening on MTGO. You could buy Sacred Foundry was more expensive than Plateau.
Oh, man.
Not even a joke. And it was the best. It was like, hey, so buy now, please? Like, I'm also looking at TCG player customers who bought this also purchased Tano's Coffin for as low as $13. Tano's Coffin is a 5-cent card in MTGO. 5 cents.
I just bought Tano's Coffin last week because I realized it was 5 cents. And I'm like, oh my god, what else would I spend 5 cents on that is better than Thomas' Coffin on here? Oh, Mishra's Workshop is like $8.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
And it has sweet ass new art too.
And the other cool thing is, you know that those cards will work, you pretty much know those cards will work correctly. That's the other really great part about MTGO that has over something like Cockatrice, is that rules enforcement. I know I called it a level 5 drunk rules enforcement judge, but seriously, it is rules enforcement. This is how these cards work. If you ever had a question how Illusionary Mask works, This is how it works. And step by step, you can use it correctly on Magic the Gathering Online, and you can show your friends they're stupid in how they said certain cards work. That'll probably have to be fun.
But I will say, as a judge, I will say with this caveat, do not trust Modo with your rules questions. Because even if you see it done correctly, you won't necessarily understand why it's doing the way it does. I have had so many people say, well, Modo, it does this. Sit down, son. I was playing at a cons pre-release where someone was trying to tell me how, like priority and shortcutting works. Because, it works like this on Modo.
Ooh,
no. Man,
that's not real life.
I got into like a 10-minute argument that where my friend who was judging the event had to come over and like people who try and quote Modo for rules interactions and stuff hurt my head.
Agreed. And I know we're gonna speak about this a lot more in an upcoming segment, but there are just some cards that work better on Modo. Let's not talk about them now. there is literally some cards that just are nightmares in real life, but on Magic the Gathering Online just work.
I'm gonna go ahead and try and move this segment going. So, Tom, if you could say one last thing about Modo real quick, what would it be?
It's worth it to get, if you're going to play EDH on it, and you don't have a local play group, and you're willing to invest at least $80.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we're going to finally end our community segment. Wow, you guys really got an earful today. Calvin, you might have to cut off all the dangly bits.
Ah, who cares? Leave it in. They'll like it.
Well, we gotta say
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. We're dropping a load on you today.
All right. So, next up in our strategy segment, we're gonna talk about the things that you really shouldn't be doing online. That's right, people. The faceless face of the internet can't protect you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I don't know. I'm having fun going into this stuff. It's stuff I'm passionate about, so I love talking about it. And it all...
That's a ton of fun.
No, it is. It is. But at the same time, it's like, well, why don't we just make all the episodes, like, 3 hours long? It's because there are people who just don't have time for that. Alright, so, just because... A funny story, actually. Like I was saying, I was playing Modo earlier today before these guys came on, trying out the free con online, and we actually got to see someone playing a Melech deck, and he started storming off. Now, he wasn't going, like, super storming off where he's able to kill everyone, but he's playing, like, okay, he's got, like, 10 copies of that Mill 3 Storm card, and then he great shots for, like, 12 to burn some damage, kill some stuff, but someone decided that, you know, no, they had had enough, and they quit and left the game. And the guy kind of looked around the chat box and said, why did he quit? I don't get it. And so I had to tell him, hey, you know what? Storm kind of has a bad reputation. People see Storm and they're just done. It's one of those things that makes people go, nope, I'm out of here. I have better things to do with my time. So since Tom is the one who does Modo primarily and does a lot of streaming, let's go ahead and go into what kind of things people still don't like, even when you're playing online. And I'm assuming Storm is still one of them.
Oh, yeah. Storm is definitely still one of those, like, what's going on? Yeah, what was funny was, before Vintage Masters came out, there was actually a slight bit of, agitation when someone would go, like, Volcanic Island Mana Crypt. And I was talking to another streamer about this, but it used to be if you saw someone play an original duel, it would be an indication that someone's deck was way too powerful. But nowadays it's not like that because of Vintage Masters. But as far as, like, what's, accepted and not accepted, be at your computer is the main thing. Like, I don't want to sum it up in one thing, but seriously, be at your computer. Like, if you're taking 2 minutes after I cast my spell before it resolves, I will dislike you. I am not a fan of that. I won't berate you, but I will be very not cordial with you. You can see how much I hate Palancron, by the way, with how nicely I'm putting this. I really, really, really dislike people who are inattentive to their games. I hate double queuing. This is beyond EDH, of course, but I think double queuing is just disrespectful to your opponents. It just really is. It's just you don't deserve enough attention for me to pay full attention to what's going on in this game. If you do leave, tell people in the chat why. There's a chat there for a reason. If you're going to be leaving to use the bathroom, say, yo, I got to use the bathroom. 2 minutes, man. That way other people can use the bathroom. Like, be considerate is always really good. Treat people how you want to be treated. And in Lord Jesus' name, we pray. okay. But like, really, it really is just be attentive. Like, you're playing with real people. I know it's hard to forget that, but be at the screen. Like, when someone casts a spell like Cathartic Crusade, they don't want to have to wait a year before they can do their triggers.
Yeah, I think all those are excellent points. Tom, I just want to ask you, man, what do you think for when you're starting up a game, how much chatting is too much chatting in the chat window?
When I'm streaming, I just go hello and good luck and then close the chat window because it takes up too much space. When I'm not streaming, I'm an active talker on MTGO. I want to talk to the people I'm playing against. I don't make fun of their decks, and I might laugh at a certain play that might happen. On version 3, you used to right-click and there'd be these prompts that come up, and one of them was hello and good luck. And I think a hello and good luck to start out the game is necessary. It says, like, I'm actually here, but it also says, like, let's have fun. I like a good hello and good luck before I start a game. It really makes me feel at home. But it also shows that my opponent recognizes that I'm actually a person and we're gonna play together. Now, you can talk someone's ear off, and that's just annoying. But at the same time, it's online, so you can ignore, which is kind of nice. My limits for myself is that if I've said like 5 lines on the screen and no one said anything else, I'll wait. You know? Like, it's really, like, on Moto, it's really easy, where you can be like, wow, that play was cool, or I never thought about it that way. But then when you get to the 5th time you said that and no one said anything else, just take a deep breath and shut up.
So let's go ahead and, oh god, I had something, then I lost it.
That's okay, because I actually, one little addendum, don't be salty on MTGO. It's still Magic. We know how Magic works. Don't be that 7-year-old kid who's annoyed they didn't draw his lands when you're only playing 30. You can't see age, gender, or sex on MTGO, so definitely don't be inflammatory towards other people. That really just makes no sense. But definitely don't be salty about what's going on. Like, if your opponent gets a really good draw, don't be like, oh, I can't believe you got the show-and-tell to Omniscience draw. Just be like, wow, that's really insane. Because guess what? When it comes to Commander on Magic Gathering Online, they're free games. You're not paying anything to play that next game at Commander. It's not a queue. You don't get prizes for winning. There's no reason to be a jerk. There just really isn't a reason to be a jerk when you're playing Commander on Magic Gathering Online. There just isn't a reason for it. There's nothing on the line at all. There just isn't. Like, you're playing to have fun. That is what you're doing on Magic Gathering Online when you're playing Commander. And I think that's really the overarching theme of when you go into a Commander game is, remember, there's nothing on the line. Deep breath, baby. You're not playing for anything. You're playing to have fun. All right? I know you want to win. I want to win when I play, but don't get salty because someone drew the perfect card. I've had people runner me on stream live, and I've had to go, dude, I'll do the same thing to somebody else in a month. Like, it happens. You just have to understand that variance is part of our game, and don't be salty about it, because I will make fun of you, and it will end up on a post on Reddit eventually.
But again, how often do people scoop to turn 2 Mesmeric Orb?
Not as much as I would make you think. The people that I play with commonly know how strong it is. But the other thing about not knowing the sex, age, gender, or the person across the screen is, that person might have never played against Mesmeric Orb and doesn't know how it works. They might have never played against Oath of Druids combo and don't know how it works. They might not know that when your opponent plays Memory Jar, that you should be killing that over killing a Mind Stone. There is definitely a very different span of aptitude when it comes to playing on Magic Gathering Online. There are people that have just started a year ago. There are people that have just started 20 years, that started at the beginning in Alpha. And they have different play styles, and everyone has a different way they look at stuff. I've learned, it's taken me like a year and a half, but I definitely learned to never be angry at what someone's decision is, because they have a reason they think they're doing it, even if it's wrong. Because we all know there's definitely wrong decisions out there. There have been terrible hold breaches, and there have been great hold breaches. When you're playing Magic Gathering Online, you have to understand that it's an open game for 4 people. You can be sitting across from a 14-year-old who is some of their first interaction with Magic, and they still love their silly knight deck. You could be sitting across from a 35-year-old who's been playing for 15 years and just really wants to try out Tribal Spheres from Kamigawa. You could be sitting across from Brian Kibler, who's playing an insane EDH deck because he just kind of felt like playing it. He's playing Rift the Awakener. That's kind of one of the cool things when it comes to MTGO is that there's a spectrum, a Roy G. Biv of just play styles and just play strengths and play weaknesses. And it's really fun to just kind of enter into this minefield of you just don't know what's coming out of people's decks. That's also going back to the price of cards. That's also one of the better parts about it is that I have seen the most random cards in Commander games because they're worth 5 cents and people want to try them out. I have died to Mono Black Sliver decks. I have died to Hold the Line. I have died to just anything you can name. I've died to Last Stand. I've had James draw because of Divine Intervention. Congregation, whichever one it is, but I've died to it. Like, it's all there, and it's all really fun to deal with. That also goes back to don't be a jerk, though, because when you die to that turn, someone did turn three, Show and Tell into Omniscience into Enter the Infinite in a Commander deck. They didn't tutor up any of the parts, they just drew that hand. I wasn't angry about it. I was just surprised. Because it's fun. Like, I know, like, we lost the game on turn three, but I can then enter another game in 2 minutes. There's no reason to be a jerk on Magic Gathering Online. There just isn't. It doesn't exist when it comes to Commander. When it comes to, like, Standard or Draft, and there is something on the line, and it's, like, whether or not I get the draft in the next week is on the line, maybe I can understand being a little salty. Maybe when your opponent draws turn one, one drop into Raid Chief, into Horde Chief, into Zergo, I can understand being kind of pissed. Like, this makes it so that I can't buy packs for my next set of drafts. But when it comes to Magic Gathering Online, you just don't have an excuse. When it comes to Commander, you don't have an excuse. It just doesn't exist. That might be a really strong stance to take on this, but that's where I'm at. It just doesn't exist. It really doesn't. Sorry. I've played against enough jerks and salty people to just have that opinion, though. That's what it comes down to. I've played against enough people who have been like, God, I can't believe that you have that writer replication there. And it's like, dude, you saw me tutor it up. Like, you knew I had it. If you could prevent it, you could. What do you guys think of collusion on Magic the Gathering Online? That's my main question, baby. Collusion, what do you think?
I've never run across that. But maybe, again, like, I'm a shitty player, so who knows? Like, I'm just kind of, like, dirtling around, like, you know, staring at my cards I probably haven't read, you know, while other people are trying to win a game. Like, I just don't understand collusion, because, again, there's nothing on the line. Like, I wouldn't bother cheating at something I'm not going to win.
I might be misspeaking when I say collusion. Plotting might be a better way to put it. I don't know.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean.
Like, it wasn't necessarily Commander, but there was a time where I was just kind of playing a group game with our modern decks on Cockatrice. It was actually my sister and a boyfriend, and, you know, I start playing, you know, I'm playing Soul Sisters, I'm gaining the life, and I've got a big giant primate, and apparently, in their own private chat window, they're freaking out. They're like, oh my fucking god, oh my fucking god, oh my fucking god, we're gonna die!
Yep.
To the point where they actually had to start colluding in order to try and overtake me. And I'm like, okay, guys, okay, calm down. But at the same time, that had just kind of been other people you know, it's politics in EDH as far as I'm concerned. It's no different than us being at the kitchen table and me desperately trying to convince anyone, what, no, you don't have to kill my doubling season. Look at that guy, he's got a mana rock! Think of all the degenerate things you can do with that mana rock!
Exactly. Except the difference is, people can't see you doing it. Which is why I call it collusion. Because it's definitely behind closed doors. Like, you can open a private chat with somebody and be like, dude, I have a Doomblade. If you can get rid of the Darksteel Forge, I can kill the general. If the opponent says, yeah, I got a removal spell, but I didn't have a removal spell for the general, so you can do both? And you talk and you're like, yeah, okay, we can do it. And I kind of think it adds something, but also detracts something. Like, there are some really intense politics that happen in private chat windows in EDH games sometimes. I call it collusion. It's obviously not cheating. But it's just like, you talk outside of the game chat with somebody, and you, like, come to decisions about the game, about, like, how you wanna, like, if your opponent has lethal with an elf deck, like, if William's playing the Freylise deck, and he has lethal next turn, you know it, and you're like, dude, I have removal for Timberwatch Elf, but I don't have a counter spell for when he's playing a Moment Discharge. And you talk to your blue opponent, you're like, dude, hold a counter spell. I got a removal spell. You got to be able to do this. And I actually kind of like that part.
So Tom, question. How many people try and watch your stream and play against you at the same time to get an edge?
To get an edge, not many. Whenever I open in a game, it's usually people who watch the stream that enter the game just because they want to. If, again, for me, nothing's on the line. If someone wants to watch my hand and listen to what I'm saying and know my line of play, and they're that invested in winning the game, dude, for a free game, go for it. I'm still going to have fun. I'm still going to describe every single card. There's nothing on the line. I'm not going to do that ghosting window that some streamers do when they're in PTQs, because I'm not in a damn PTQ. I'm playing Commander Magic the Gathering Online. So I have had people do that, and I have had people literally alter their state of play because I knew the cards in my hand, and I was talking about what I was expecting them to do, and then they didn't do it. Like, I knew their play style, so I was like, okay, so this turn they're going to tap this, attack with this, and do this afterwards, post-combat. When they do that post-combat, we'll be able to do this, so that then we can screw his whole entire other attack, and then we'll be able to win the next turn. And then they do what they always did post-combat, pre-combat, and I'm like, all right, I get it. But it's not going to stop me from talking about it.
All right, so Tom, what are the other kinds of strategies that are typically unacceptable online? Like, is there a difference between online and in the real?
I think online you can get away with a lot. That whole faceless nature is really nice. You're never that one guy who has a Rafik deck that no one likes. You're 420 smoker XX/boobs with an E, and no one knows what you're playing until you sit down. So as far as what strategies aren't liked, Infect is never liked, never has been, never will be. Combo, especially dedicated combo, isn't liked very much because of the fact that there's a lot of different, that there's a whole spectrum of player quality. There's a lot of people who just aren't prepared for a combo deck. If you're playing the five color Hermit Druid deck, people aren't going to be a fan of it and they might block you. Like, I have had that happen to me. If you're playing a mono blue all counterspell deck, people will revile you. They will hate your guts and they will let you know. They might follow you around and let you know. You might be making a trade and all of a sudden a chat window pops up and it's like, dude, you're a terrible person. I wish you had died in the womb. Like, it gets that bad sometimes.
Actually, now that you mention it, I have heard people just auto blocking people who sit down with Narset decks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, from what I understand, it's gotten to the point, like, Judson is a big proponent. He's been extremely salty on this, where he's seen like over 7 Narset decks, and all of them have been of the set up super extra turns and storm off and a bunch of super solitary kind type games.
Yep.
To the point where he just auto blocks anyone who sits down with Narset.
Well, that's pretty salty.
No, it's extremely salty.
I mean, I think it goes both ways though, because I think some people are so, I think it's strong, but I think I would use the word traumatized by certain colors or certain strategies. Like, someone auto-blocked me one time when I sat down with my Mistform Ultimus deck. They're like, you're playing mono blue, you're a fucking douche. And I'm like, dude, time out, Mistform Ultimus? Come on. Like, it's my, yeah, I know, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I get you, like, someone did something terrible to you with mono blue back in the day. I get it. Like, you've still got scars or some shit.
Timmy, show me where the wizard touched you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, ooh, buddy, I don't know. Like, maybe you want to dial that back. Like, I also, like, I hate the Narset, like, infinite turns thing, but to be honest, like, if someone plays a Narset infinite turns thing, I just automatically, like, I'll go watch something else on another channel and just wait for the guy to just finish doing whatever he's doing. Or better yet, you know what? It's online. You can just click concede. Like, that's it. That's all you need to do. Like, if you don't want to waste your time, if you know that it's never going to get back, if he just chained, you know, capture into time warp, into time stretch, into whatever, you're just like, oh, well, okay, goodbye. Like, that's it. That's the nice part.
Just to touch on why, on kind of where Judson's coming from, though, there is a rash of people when a new commander comes out, they want to test it out, but they know, like, they can't test out the infinite turn version of Narset with their playgroup. So they're like, oh, I'll take it on MTGO, and I'll try the strongest version of this deck. So a good example of this, not using Narset, but Nikasar. When Nikasar came out, every single game I played in, this is not a joke, every single game I played in for 3 weeks had a Nikasar deck in it, maybe two. 3 straight weeks, a Nikasar deck in it. It got to the point where I actually remember Justin was sideboarding had decks sideboarded for Nikasar deck because he knew he would play against them. and like, you just know you're playing against it. And that's definitely where a lot of that burnout comes from. Like, when the gods came out, I played against a Purphoros deck every other day. I played against a god every single day I played EDH. No matter what, there would be a game with a god in it. But it got to the point where you're on MTGO, just put in the glamours. You know what's in the meta. There is a semi-meta for MTGO. There really is. Don't get me wrong. People can sit down with Zhao doing the one-eyed. But when new cards come out, especially specifically new generals, there is definitely a meta that forms. If someone sits down with Narset, they're not usually playing the fun version of Narset. I'll let you know that right now. They're playing the I'm going to attack. I am then going to get multiple combat steps, and we're going to keep doing this again, and then again, and then again, and y'all might be dead. But as Mark mentions, dude, there's a concede button. if your opponent is going to combo out or is comboing out, just concede. It's not truly difficult. And especially like Kijiki decks, whenever I sit down from Kijiki deck, once they start to combo out, I like tell the guy, dude, good job, you got your combo, good game, I'm going to concede. I don't put any of that, never mind, none of the good job stuff. I just put down GG and I concede. I'm not gonna lie to you here. When someone's gonna combo, when someone is comboing out, I put GG and I concede. And that's it. But that's something you can do with Magic Gathering Online that you can't in real life. You can't look at your friend Kevin in the eyes and go, hey, Kev, I concede. He'll be like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, no. Shut up. I concede.
Okay, so, Tom, let me ask you this. We're talking about combo. Is combo harder to play online as opposed to in the real way you can, like, shortcut?
Yes. We're gonna be talking about, in a little bit, cards and strategies are better on Magic Gathering Online than in real life. Some of the things that are worse are specifically combinations of cards like Kiki Jiki Pestermite, where it's an infinite number of creatures, but you have to do the same loop multiple times. Terrible. It's actually just terrible. The targeting multiple times and making sure you do your triggers right. I have had people mess up the Kiki Jiki Pestermite combo. I actually won a game because my opponent went Kiki Jiki Zealous Conscripts and then made only 6 copies and then targeted the wrong thing for Kiki Jiki. And I was just talking on stream at the time, and I hadn't conceded it yet because I was talking about how the combo was working, and then they messed it up. And I was like, oh. And someone had already conceded, too. And so I was sitting there, and my opponent was like, oh, well, attack for 18? I was like, okay. Attack back for lethal? definitely specific combos are very difficult to play. Stuff like Four Horsemen, nearly impossible. Four Horsemen being the deck with our favorite Mesmeric Orb and a Basalt Monolith where you tap it a bunch of times to loop through your deck. Sucks. specific loops you have to demonstrate are just not fun. Even Thopter Foundry isn't fun. So when you sit down with a deck that does that kind of stuff, it definitely turns people off. You know how much people hate Dead Navigator in real life? Online it's worse. Because you activate Dead Navigator, trigger goes on the stack. Card re-enters the battlefield, its trigger goes on the stack, and then a Navigator Soul Bond goes on the stack. What's even worse, Graft. Oh god, Graft. Oh.
That's like the only time anyone's ever complained about Graft.
Did you know that Graft is everybody's creature? You can do it on your opponent's creature. Do you know how annoying it is to click through that box on everybody's creatures? Do you know what happens when you have a Llanowar Reborn and you play on your first turn, and then you just decide to put it on, like, you just decided to put it on your Sakura Tribuilder because you don't want to keep yielding for Graft. I've done that multiple times. I've had a 2-2 Sakura Tribuilder because I'm just like, screw having to click through this Graft box. I'm done. I'm just going to have a 2-2 Sakura Tribuilder. I'm going to sack it, but that's how it's going to work. So if you play a Graft deck on MTGO, I am not your friend. Because It's a non-yieldable trigger. You have to make a decision every single time. You can't auto-yield to it. It's just impossible. And it's just the worst. Oh, what else is worse? The 2 and a blue enchantment, whenever your opponent's got spelled, pay 1. Rhystic Study. I hate him in real life, hate him more online, because they always get that triggered ability, want to punch him in the face when they're not at their computer. if you go AFK and you have Rhystic Study in play, you're a terrible person. That whole don't go AFK, worse when you have a card like that. Just so much worse. So don't do that, please. Be a responsible person. Yeah.
Okay, so, since we're going along, I'm gonna say that's about it for strategy. Always leave them wanting more, and trust me, there's so much more that we could go into.
Yeah.
But in the interest of having Calvin not have to dig through 4 hours of content.
Nah, let's do it anyways.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. We're already up to 3, so.
Yeah, we'll save it for like some extra dangly bits. And besides, we're just gonna go into like what the next one is anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Yeah. So let's talk about what's bad online. Let's go ahead and talk about what gets so much better online. We're gonna go into technology and we're gonna talk about the cards that get so much easier to play when you start going in the digital. Stay tuned everyone, we'll be right back.
God, Graft. I hate Graft. It's not Palancron bad, but seriously, it's really annoying to play on with Magic Gathering Online. It was one of the things I hope they had somehow fixed with V4, but it's unfixable. It's just a triggered ability that triggers whenever a creature enters the battlefield. someone cast like Increasing Devotion, the one that puts 5/1/1s into play, and I had 5 graph triggers pop up. That
was
like,
my god.
I was like, you know what? One of these guys is a tutu. Don't care. Don't think I'm being nice. I'm just being lazy. I'm just being lazy.
Technology today, we're going to talk about cars that get so much easier in the real, which, depending on what sort of dangly bits and twin-D segment stuff Calvin decides to put in, you may have heard an inkling of already. And, you know, for the most part, it's triggers. Just things that trigger multiple times, like Catherine's Crusade. Catherine's Crusade, which, if you don't know about this, you probably don't play it because you don't like having a huge box of dice or one of those box of dice with a little mini dice that always seem to miss one. And then you get mad because then like you don't have your complete set and like you're me and you're somewhat OCD and you're like, I really want to know where that one die went. So Catherine's Crusade, your 5 drop enchantment from Amazon Restored that says, whenever a creature enters the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on all of your creatures. Yeah. You know, Tom, you were just mentioning that Increasing Devotion.
Yeah, baby.
Play 5 1/1 guys, 10 if you flashed it back from the graveyard.
Imagine those 5 guys being 6/6s.
Yeah, it's super cool until you...
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing about Modo. You, with real life, you could just shortcut and say, okay, 5 triggers, they're all going to get 5 1/1 counters. Super easy. Online, you would think that it would be much more difficult. You have to click through all those triggers. But Tom, we all know that there's a shortcut to this, isn't there?
Oh, it's so much easier online. You can just right click it and put always yield, always yes.
Yeah, baby.
And then when those Cathartic Crusade triggers, it all goes on your cards. You don't have to search your dice bag to find all the dice to signify it. You don't have to put the die on the Avengers Ender card to say this is how many are my plants. We've all done that one. No one wants to put the plus one counter on the plants. We put it on the Avengers Ender card to signify.
False. I put them on the plants every time because I am adamant about representing an accurate board state. And when people try and tell me to put it on the Avengers Ender card, I'm like, no, sir. That is not accurately representing the board. This is accurately representing the board. You have to deal with me taking up 90% of the game area with my tokens. Now sit down.
I'm an Avengers Endicar apologist. I definitely put it on the Avengers Endicar. I'm just like that. We all know this isn't a 5/5. These are 5+1+1 counters on all my dudes. Let's all take that together.
Yeah. I always just use like the tiny little dice, you know, like the teeny tiny ones, like D6s, and I just use D6s. And I just have like a 30 D6s that I just line the goddamn table with. But then I can't ever tell like what or what. And I get lazy too, cause I use like a 1 on the die to do a 0/1 or a 1/1. And sometimes I just don't know, because I'm not fucking good. So I'm just like, it might be a 1/1 or it might be a 0/1 or maybe it's a 1/2 or, maybe, fuck it, maybe I'll play Frankenstein's Monster. And then maybe it'll be a who goddamn knows, cause I'll just put 2/2 counters on shit. So,
I will say that it makes playing Soul Sisters a lot easier to do too.
Yeah.
All right, so, Mark, you have a card.
Yeah, I have to admit that I've scooped this in the real before when people have played Warp World. And if you're playing in, like, I think it was a 5 or maybe it was a 6-person game, and someone played Warp World, and it was one of those, like, we've been playing for, like, 2 hours already, and the board state was stalled, and we all had a million different permanents out, and you know what? No, no. But on Modo, you just hit, okay. And it just shuts all the shit for you, and all of a sudden, just boom! Other crap just pops up on my screen. It's awesome.
It is great. The stack's a little bit of a chore, but it is great. It really is. Like, Warp World isn't a, wait, oh, Warp World, oh, man, come on, we gotta do this. Instead, it's a, oh, sweet, Warp World, let's have a whole bunch of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. So Warp World, totally, yeah. Play it in the digital. Don't necessarily play it in the real. Gotta be careful with it in the real.
And only that, like, all those red Chaos cards, I personally dislike Chaos cards. I think they're terrible. But even stuff like Scrambleverse or Thieves Auction, you know how hard it is to organize a Thieves Auction in real life? On Modo, it's simple. Who wants this one? I do. Who wants this one? Oh, I do. Or illicit auction, or anything like that. Or again, Scrambleverse is a really good example of this. Just, you play Scrambleverse, and it just happens. It's hilarious. You're just like, Scrambleverse, and everyone like shatter pauses while it resolves, and you're like, oh god, really? And then, poof, Scrambleverse. Yep. Instead of, Oh, let's roll a die. Oh, I guess you get this planes. Let's roll a die. I guess you get this one. It's so much easier.
Mm, totally.
Which is really nice. Yeah, also, being able to play Warworld and be happy about playing Warworld is amazing.
Seriously.
I can't wait to take a deck Phantom's Auction.
The greatest thief in the multiverse.
Worst Batman in the multiverse. I agree. So, Tom, what's a card that you like to use on Modo that's so much easier?
So, I know I mentioned May triggers as being terrible. Required triggers are great. So a card like Kabu Lair, which is a card that I think is underplayed. I know that not a lot of people know about my boy Kabu Lair, but I'm using it more as an example. It's 2 and a green. Whenever creature power 4 or greater comes into play, its controller draws a card. You notice there's no May there. It's a required trigger. This is the kind of card that people forget on the battlefield, and they just miss all their triggers with it. And as someone like Williams is a bit OCD about this kind of stuff, I know I am too. Like, I have won games at one life. I have won games where that last card off my deck has won me the game. I don't want to miss those cards. I don't want to miss that life. Mandatory triggers are infinitely easier. You have no idea. I swear to God, Soul Warden is at least a star better on Magic Gathering Online than it is in real life. Like, you gain at least 5 more life. I'm not even kidding. When you play it online than in real life. Because you don't miss lazy triggers. You don't forget stuff. You don't, oh yeah, how many of those came into play last time? There's none of that. It just happens. It just poof, pops onto your screen. It's great. It really is great. And those mandatory triggers are just, you don't forget them. They happen really easily. I play an upkeep deck that's filled with mandatory triggers, and it's manageable. I play that same deck in real life. My upkeeps on Modo take about 30 seconds. Real life, minute and a half. Like,
oh. It's preach, just, brother, preach.
Being able to auto-yield and just get through it is just so much easier. So cards with mandatory trigger like Kabu Lair, which you want to always hit, but it's easy to forget in a myriad of cards on the battlefield, definitely things that just make that Modo just does better.
All right, so I have nothing because I haven't played a whole lot of Modo, so we're just going to go back to Mark.
Sweet. Well, I think the theme of the rest of my cards are I am shit at math, and I like that Modo does it for me. So Coat of Arms is, oh my god, especially in a four-player game, like, my brain seizes, like, anything more than a 1v1 with Coat of Arms out. And god forbid if you're playing just, like, there's just multiple different kinds. Like, when I play Coat of Arms, it's only because I'm playing, like, you know, White Soldier's deck or Red Goblin's deck. But, man, if there's just a bunch of other crap out, like, oh, Jesus. Like, I tried to play this in a Humans deck one time. What the hell was I thinking? Oh, it was awful. But on Modo, it just does it automatically. You don't even have to click anything. It's just like, oh, suddenly now they're all whatever the hell they are. Yeah, well, now they're my Human Wizards of 2020. Who cares? Whatever.
Well,
but his...
Rose, only in 1818. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's awesome. So, yep.
No, you can't be more correct about this. Coat of Arms definitely being the cream of the crop, but any of those sort of like global pumps, I know, any sort of anthems, is just so much better. Especially stuff like protection abilities are actually really much easier on Magic Gathering Online. Especially when people have that weird, like, I'm not sure if this works, but let's see. It just works correctly, which is really nice. But then like, Akroma's Memorial is so much easier on Magic Gathering Online also, cause it's written on the cards. Like, it says, oh yeah, this has First Strike, Haste, Prop Black, Prop Red, Vigilance, Trample. That's all of them? That's all of them. So, like, it's so much easier than MTGO, but I think you're totally right. Coat of Arms is the best example of this. Because if you're playing a Humans deck, how the hell are you keeping up with all your different damn humans?
Yep. On the flip side of that, too, Tom, I have to add in that, you know, it makes it a hell of a lot harder to cheat on Modo. Because I forgot that I can't pull the same bullshit, like, oh, I'm going to play... I'm gonna play. Is it Raise Dead? Is the enchantment the black enchantment?
Oh, Animate Dead.
Animate Dead. Like I can't play Animate Dead on a Chroma like I do in the real world because my opponents aren't really paying attention and I'm a shitty player and I never realized. And then play it online and then people just laugh at me. So
or my favorite is the God. I just need to Animate Dead this stupid karmic guide. Just so I can get back something else. And you're like, wait, oh, I don't keep the karmic guy. No.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I've done that too.
So, Tom, what's your next card?
My next card is, my next type, card really is Treasury Thrall, but more explicitly Extort. I know we already talked about Small Edges before, but, Modo keeps track of those small edges, and I think Extort's the best example of it. Not only does it ask you when you're casting the card if you want to play the Extort cost, so you don't have to go back, like, halfway through the game, like, oh, I had an extra mana, I paid for Extort, can we all take it down? It's also much easier to do very small increments of life decrease and increase. Like, if you're playing a life gain deck that gains one life a turn, or if you're playing an Extort deck that gains one life and decreases your opponent's life by one, it's so easy in real life to forget those numbers. To say, oh yeah, I extorted twice, did you lose that two life, like three turns later? You don't have to do that. You don't have to argue with your friend whether or not they lost their two life to extort, or whether or not they took into account that you had played Siphon Soul where they were gone, or that you had played Siphon Mine, you're not sure if they discarded a card, let me see if you discarded a card. And you don't have to get into those petty arguments. They don't exist in Magic the Gathering Online. They're done for you. No longer do you have to argue with your friend about whether or not they played a land. You know they played a land or they didn't play a land. It's in the damn chat if they played a land or didn't play a land. You don't have to argue about general damage either. That might be the best one. It's not on there, but it might be the best one. Not arguing about general damage is great. Like, you can just see it. It's like, oh yeah, I've taken 18 general damage. Guess I have to block it this time. Or, dude, like, I have gotten into arguments with my friend about, no, you had 17 general damage. No, I had 16 general damage. You're like, dude, no, 17. 16, 17, 16. It's like, rabbit. Bunny, rabbit, bunny. But, sorry, what? No, duck, bunny. No, rabbit, rabbit, duck. Anyway, like, it's just, because there's a third party keeping track of all of the life totals at all times, those little edges that you do get over time in games are actually factored out. You don't have to try and remember that kind of stuff at 2 a.m. while you're in your underwear drinking beer. It's just done for you. And it allows loser play a little bit, since you don't have to keep track of those, like, small increments and decreases of life and stuff, which is kind of nice. Like, I can talk about an entire game or talk to people in chat or wax lovingly about this weird anime that just came out, and I can still play Commander because I know I don't need to keep full track because, to be frank, Modo keeps track of a lot of stuff that's going on anyways. Like, if your opponent plays Spelljack on a card and you didn't see what they Spelljacked, you can just look it up in the chat window and be like, oh, they Spelljacked this card. You know? It's nice that way.
So, turns out I actually did think of something, and this is something that I forgot I had actually needed some help with when I was playing the game earlier. It's amazing how much of this stuff is actually coming back to the game I played earlier. It's mass mana producers.
Oh.
And just keeping track of your mana in general. Because what I noticed was, for the first time, was that Modo was keeping track of the floating mana I had. And that is a very useful tool.
Like, with stuff like Elvis Archdruid, right?
Yeah, Elvis Archdruid, Priest of Titania.
Makes it so much easier.
Yeah, so I can just go, okay, I know I have this amount of floating, so I'm going to go ahead, play my Overrun, play my Ascension. How much mana do I have left? Okay, do some quick math in my head. Okay, I can kick Jorga Warcaller 13 times.
I can't tell you how many times I've just tapped on my lands at MTGO just to see how much mana I had, and been like, oh, 11. Like, oh, great, I know what I can do now. Or like, oh, these colors, great, I know what I can do now. Like, it's lazy, and it is kind of like allowing lazy play, but it's really nice. I know we talked, this is the, what, Without Underpants cast? I forget the entire heading for the show. But seriously, yeah, Underwear Magic. It seriously is Underwear Magic. Like, you don't have to put your entire brain into it, which is really nice. Like, you should, and again, make sure you're at the computer and present and able to click through those yields and stuff. But seriously, like, so much of it's kept track. So many of those little things that both William and I just really harp on as ways to win the game. Like, you win the game off of little edges a lot of the times. When you're toe-to-toe with somebody and you both have the same power level decks, you want to make sure that you hit that extra zombie that you would have off of CDC that you might have lost because you were talking to your friend's wife. You know? Mm. Like, that's stuff you want to have access to. And Modo gives it to you because it's keeping track. It is, again, a level 5 rules enforcement judge that had maybe a bit too much bourbon sometimes. But seriously, it keeps track of it, and it's beautiful because it does.
So, Mark, you had a last category.
Yes, I cannot advocate actually playing this last category, but if you want to not play a good deck, I have an Allies deck that I run. I think I run Reaper King at the head of it, although it doesn't really matter. It's a 5-cover Allies deck. Like, who really cares what you're going to run at the head of this deck?
You know,
it could be... Sure. Yeah. Well, any of the above. Who cares?
Yeah.
It just plays really dumb allies, and I built it just to teach myself about triggered abilities. And oh, buddy, do allies have some triggered abilities, which is super annoying in the real to play with. Like, if someone, I remember I played this once in the real, and then I just had it was very nice of my friends afterwards to ask me to please never play this deck again. Because my turns just took forever, particularly if you have, I mean, it was just allies and clones of everything, you know. So on Moto, though, you just hit, just like Tom said, like, always yield, always yes. Ding. And
that's
just
all
go.
You need, baby.
Yep, that's it. And then boom, whatever. Just play whatever dumb thing you want to. I will play all the, I don't know, Kabira, whatever the hell they are. Who cares? They're allies. You know? And just have a good time and just be stupid. So, yep.
Now, for the record, once you've said always yes, always yield to a particular card, for the rest of the game, that card, your triggers are already taken care of. Yes?
Yes,
but and you can remove auto yields.
And you can turn it off. Really important. You can turn off always auto yields, which I've done. Need to sometimes. But it's good that way. Like, just to put an example, if you're playing Halimar Excavator, which is the one that mills for the allies, you just always yield to it and you choose a target, and that's all you need to do. And stuff like, good example, just keeping with the allies, Ornery Survivalist, the one green bear that jumps up, yeah, you just always yield to that, always yes. Whenever an ally comes into play, gets put on it, which is nice. Really, really, really nice.
Yep. Awesome.
Alrighty then. And with that, we're going to see if Calvin has a micro minute for us. Calvin, take it away.
Sorry, ready? Here we go. One thing we want to talk about if you're talking about something on MTGO, one main concept for card types you might want to play around with are flip cards. These are the cards from Innistrad, you know, like the werewolf mechanics and all those other things, because MTGO can keep track of the cards when they're flipping back and forth for you, so you don't have to worry about flipping them yourself. This also counts the Hamagawa flip cards that flip face up, downwards and stuff, because they can also keep track of those for you as well. We also have things that generate tokens. Don't forget that if you decide to throw out something that puts out a bunch of tokens, it can actually put tokens down on the field so you can keep track of what creatures are, what colors they are, all those other stuff. Thing. This also works with things with counters, like plus one counters, and O minus, and whatever, that things like that. Regarding what I want to actually toss out there, would also be Knowledge Pool, because with Knowledge Pool, when you actually play it online, the Moto will actually help keep track of what cards are inside the Knowledge Pool, so you can be able to use them. And don't forget to actually use Cascade, because Cascade can actually go straight from your deck into the cards that's needed, and actually hit the converted mana cost of your board. And anything with an accumulative upkeep is also something you might want to deal with, because Moto can remind you about it. That's it for the minute. Done.
All right. So that's it. That's it. That is it. Oh, baby. Whew.
You sure? I mean,
over three. Well, okay, we're not done, John, but we're done with like official stuff. So to help wrap up the official stuff, we're gonna go straight into the outro.
Use that F5 key, baby. Use it.
All right. So, this has been episode 179, Underwear Magic. I want to go ahead and thank Tom for coming out tonight, talking absolute nonsense with us.
Super fun. Love being here.
And Mark, thank you for being the only co-host to be able to show up tonight.
Anytime.
I mean, like, Tom's a really good talker, so it wasn't too much of a loss, but...
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We only have three people. How long could it go? 3 hours later.
Alright, so let's go ahead and hand out contact information. Tom, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Sure. The best way, I respond pretty easily on Twitter, /MTGRadio. If you want to check me out on Twitch, definitely do so. I play Commander. That's it. You may see me play Supreme Holiday Cube, and I will try and cast a Garruk while I have a Garruk on the battlefield. That's why I play Commander. So yeah, definitely check me out at twitch.tv/MTGRadio. That name made a lot more sense when we were a podcast. And now it's just kind of cute.
So that's twitch.tv/MTGRadio?
twitch.tv/MTGRadio.
/MTG.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. And Mark, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Same old Gmail address right in the show notes. Feel free. So, and especially if anybody has any, you know, articles or anything else they want to send in, I'd be happy to take a look at them.
All right. And finally, if you want to message us here at CommanderCast, be sure to check us out on the Facebook page. You can also tweet us at CommanderCast or email us CommanderCast@gmail.com. That's also where you can send in your Google Doc submissions for articles. Check us out on the Tumblr, CommanderCast.tumblr.com. I try my best. Thanks to everyone who contributes to our website. You're all wonderful people. Thanks to Calvin and Justin for manning our Facebook page. Music to our show is the X Meets Heavy Metal Series by 331 E-Rock. Check them out on Patreon. We'll see you next week with more community, strategy, and technology. Until then, let's get it!
you didn't ask us to do the Let's Get It thing at the beginning.
Well, that's because that was the commemoration season. This time, I don't have to ask people to do that anymore, because that season's done with.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, like, occasionally I'll try and switch it up. Like, I'll do Let's Mill It, if it's a mill episode, and I think I can come up with something clever enough on short notice. But, I mean, like, there's also been some stinkers. Like, I think at one point there was Let's Bestow It, and that doesn't hit the cadence.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, like, I could try Let's Heroic, which could have been funny, but for the most part, it's still just Let's Get.
Yeah. You know, you really need that, like, one-syllable verb down there. Sometimes you just run out of gas, man.
Oh, well, at least we're recording now, and that's what's important, which means I can use this spare time to get back to Cockatrice and finish putting my pre-con in.
There you go. Hey, I have been checking out, oh Christ, why did I just forget the name of it? I was just watching it a half hour ago. Attack on Titan.
Oh yeah, how have you been liking that?
It's pretty sweet, man. Thanks for it. Oh, by the way, I was told I had to tell you, my high school students think that you're incredibly intelligent.
What?
Because I asked them, because I was telling them, sometimes we sit around and we have shit to do in our study hall. So the kids are asking me, kids will come in, they'll ask me random questions. They're like, Mr. Baller, would you watch anything cool lately? I'm like, well, I had a buddy of mine who was telling me to watch Attack on Titan. They're like, oh my god! They're like, they all lost their shit. So they're like, you have to watch that now! I'm like, alright, guys, whatever. They're like, whoever that is, he's the most intelligent man on the planet. I'm like, alright, well, I'll tell him that. I'm glad that he will have the validation of, like, 16-year-olds all across my small town. So, yeah.
I mean, it's better than not having the validation.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm not saying it's worth anything. Like, you know, that and $2 will still get you a cup of coffee. But, yeah, you know, happens. Yeah.
I can get mine for less than a dollar with my team member discount.
Lucky. Sorry, man. It's all Dunkin' Donuts out here. And they are actually, I shouldn't say that. Dunkin' Donuts and everybody else goes to Starbucks. Starbucks is just, I don't know. Are you a coffee aficionado? Like, I don't mean to, like, step on.
Not really, actually. Like, I can't take the smell at all.
Really?
Yeah, so I actually spend my mornings drinking tea.
Actually, you know what? That's not a bad deal, man. Until I worked construction, I never drank coffee. Until I was about, like, 26. And then they pushed that shit on me like heroin. Like, I would never used to drink it. We used to get up at 3 and, you know, work, like, 16-hour days. I used to work a lot of concrete. And then, like, a couple of the guys would come around and be like, hey, Mark, you want a coffee, man? I'm like, nah, dude, I don't drink coffee. They're like, okay, it's free. Go ahead, just take it, man, just take it. And I'm like, that was it, man. After that, I was fucking done.
Yep. All right, so there were, like, other daily bits. Like, I could have sworn that we had other stuff. So let's talk about Netflix again.
Sweet, I'm down with that.
Death Touch? What?
I am so happy that they finally got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1 on Netflix.
Oh, Netflix! I heard Death Touch. I was like, what?
I had no idea where you were going with the Death Touch.
I was like, I can get into it, sure, but okay.
I mean, we all play Damia for Death Touch, right, guys? Duh,
you know it,
duh.
Baby.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching lately?
Just Attack on Titan, man. Like, as far as anime stuff goes, like, I've been digging that. I don't know, like, I mean, it was cool. Like, the first couple episodes, you know, I'm only, like, 3 or 4 episodes deep. I don't know, I think I was telling Will this, like, sometimes it's hard for me to take my English teacher hat off, because I was thinking about it the whole time I'm thinking of it, like, I'm just reading it as a metaphor for, like, Japanese militarist expansion tendencies in the early 2010. So, which is really cool, like, it's like, you got all those metaphors there, it's just that, like, when you start seeing it as that metaphor, you're like, oh shit, I think that makes America simultaneously, like, the wall and the douchebags outside the wall. I'm like,
That reminds me, I saw a really good, scale image for the walls. It compares into, like, U.S. geography, so I'm gonna see if I can find that real quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool, like, I dig where it's going. I think it's interesting because it has, at least, like, only being 3 or 4 episodes in, I like the fact that it's, like, and it's an anime that just practices, like, radical honesty. Like, I like how there's, like, a couple episodes where, like, the first episode, I think, where the guy brought back, like, the arm, like, that was the only thing that was left of her son to, like, this poor grieving widow. And she's like, oh, he died for something, right? And then she's just, like, bawling. And she's like, no, we did nothing. It was awful. Like, your son died for nothing. My life is meaningless. I'm like, holy Jesus Christ, man. Like, all right. I guess it went that way.
Compared to other shows. Like,
yeah, no, definitely. Like, it's refreshing. You're just like,
It's refreshing compared to, like, just American TV, to be honest. Like, every death has to matter, and it has to be 3 episodes long as to why this person dies. When you get further into Attack on Titan, people just die. And it's just kind of like they slipped, and they messed up, and they died because of it.
Those are mistakes.
And it gets really interesting how they do it.
Yeah. Well,
I'm down with that.
Yeah, and like at some point, the mentor character actually makes a point of telling Eren, hey, you know, the right decision is really only whatever you see in hindsight, because I have never made a decision knowing for sure whether it was right.
And I will say that the 3 episodes, it's, you're probably at the point where I almost dropped off. Like, there's definitely a little lull between the first couple of episodes and, like, where it finally hit stride. When would you say it hit stride, William? Attack on Titan. 7, 8, 10?
For stride, I would say it's about... Yeah, that sounds about right, because it's definitely the Battle of Trost. That things start getting real.
Like, right now you're in the pre, this is kind of what our world is, are you scared of it? If you are, leave. There's probably some stuff that's kind of annoying. The series definitely gets better after about 4 episodes. You're not going to get turned off by it, and you probably really like it, don't get me wrong, but I'm definitely going to say follow it through.
Okay.
I know when I was watching, I definitely felt like at episode 3 or 4, like, I could put this down and watch this later. I would definitely suggest keep barreling through if you find the time.
Oh, dude, I love being a teacher anyway. Like, I genuinely do. Like, I don't complain about my job. I feel really lucky to do it. Like, I have a lot of fun. But I'm not going to lie. Like, the time off is pretty nice, too. So, yeah.
That is great. That is great. Yeah. My best friend, Trevor, who's actually part of MTG Raid, is a teacher. And he says the same exact thing. He's like, dude, this week before winter break, I now know why all of our teachers gave us worksheets. I was like, huh. I guess it does make sense. He's like, dude, they gave us worksheets for a reason. I don't want to create shit. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also like, man, you know, the kids are, you know, I have seniors and freshmen. So, like, the freshmen are bouncing off the goddamn walls because I think they ate all the sugar in the cafeteria. And the seniors are just like, man, my seniors are just getting into colleges now. So there's like, high school? Why do I give a fuck about you? You know? So I have to, like, ground them, and I have to, like, give the other kids, like, a massive insulin shot to get them to sit down, you know? So everything in between. So it's, I don't know. It's a lot of fun, though. So, and now I get to talk about Attack on Titan with them, so.
I wish I could find that map. It was so good!
I know that I loved my English teachers when I was in high school. I had an English teacher named Miss Fritz, who taught us how to actually write, which was nice. I live in Florida, and we have the FCATs, and we were taught FCAT writing, or just standardized test writing, and it was terrible. Actually terrible. Like, I would read novels, and I'd be like, oh, this writing's really great, and then I would be forced to write a version of words that don't even come close to what that was. Man. And that teacher taught us how to actually write. But I think one of my favorite things about not poking holes and stuff was actually just overreading into it. There's this great story about, I'm pretty sure it's S. Scott Fitzgerald, where this English teacher wrote up this big dissertation about why someone's jacket was blue, and I was indicating depression and stuff like that in the character, and how the guy masterfully made it so that you would be able to tell just by the color of this person's coat what their mood was and stuff. And then and it was a big editorial that got really famous, and the author writes in, like, the next day, I just made it blue because it was blue.
Yep.
Like, that's it. Please don't read into it more than that. I didn't ascribe significance to it. It's like, you can poke holes in whatever you want, you can ascribe significance to whatever you want. Like, we all have our favorite magic cards. There's magic cards that I love more than others. They're still cardboard. Like, I have a Jareth Leon and Titan that if it got destroyed, I would be legitimately sad. Like, that's my, it's a Jareth Leon and Titan. It's a 25-cent rare from Scourge. Like, no one wants that card. If that thing got destroyed, I'd be legitimately sad. Like, it's one of my favorite cards. It's a card that I've been with me since I started playing Magic. Like, I would be sad if that card destroyed.
But at the same time, the overanalyzation can be so much fun to just go ahead.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, especially with stuff like Avatar: Last Airbender, where some of that stuff is so much intentional. It's hard to pick out the stuff that was just kind of coincidence, or just kind of a pattern of how they write.
There's a reason TV tropes exist, man. TV tropes exist so we can overanalyze stuff, all right?
Hell yeah. Yep. I was just explaining TVtropes.com or .org or whatever it is to my kids the other day. Oh, it was awesome. They're like, holy shit, this exists? I'm like, how did you not know this exists? Why am I explaining this to a teenager?
Yeah. Do it over winter break, not when assignments due, kids, all right, guys? Because I'll know why it's not turned in on time if you do it right now.
Yep. Yeah. So...
Madagascar.com.